NewsForGamers.com proudly presents the 2007 Interactive Video Gaming Award-style program. Brought to you by Williamson's 110-proof corn-grain liquor. Remember, when you wake up New Year's morning in your neighbor's kiddie pool wearing nothing but one white tube sock, Williamson's made it possible. And now, your hosts for this program, Ken McCown, Jason Gambrell, and Ryan Wombold.
We need, like, audience cheering sound effect. That would be great.
Some audience cheering. Oh, yeah. It's here. It's the end of 07. Oh, my God.
Yes, this is News for Gamers Radio, the last episode of 2007.
Indeed.
December 31st.
Depending on when you're listening to it, it may already be 2008.
And if it is, we just broke the fourth wall again.
Hello in the future.
Hello in the future. Welcome.
What's 2008 like?
Tell me. They have flying cars?
Yeah. Do they have replicants and cyborgs?
Do they have Kane and Lynch dead men?
Yes, they do.
Oh,
nice.
No.
And it is game of the year. I will tell you right now.
I can't wait.
Game of the year.
I can't wait.
But we are back.
Do they have a Two Worlds expansion?
It is coming in 2008.
I know.
But we are back after a long hiatus. It has been a long 2 weeks off.
It has been.
It's been
real long.
3 weeks since the show's been on the air, and we've been doing a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of gaming.
Yeah.
A lot of marrying.
A lot of coughing.
A lot of Christmasing.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you live in this area. You get sick.
You get sick.
Lots of drinking eggnog.
When did you have any eggnog?
I don't believe in eggnog.
You don't believe in eggnog?
It's unnatural. It's egg-flavored milk.
Did you have liquor in it?
No. Get
then
this.
Then it ain't eggnog.
Get this. I found pumpkin eggnog.
You're fucking disgusting.
That's even more unnatural. It's pumpkin, egg, liquor,
and
milk.
And nog.
And nog, whatever
that is. What
the fuck
is nog?
I'm just assuming that it's milk. I've had it before and it kind of tasted like milk, but
dude,
I don't know what nog is.
You know what it looks like? It looks like a cup of vomit is what it looks like.
Man, don't go there, man.
It does.
It kind of looks like baby puke.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if you're drinking eggnog right now. What am I talking about?
This we should have put a disclaimer. We should have put a disclaimer. Don't drink eggnog before they show.
Yeah,
you will vomit.
You'll
right back in the cup, and you can just drink it again. How's it going? Welcome to Jackass. I'm Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, today will be.
This is called vomit eggnog drinking. Wow. Well, we already got our vomit joke out of the way.
Joke's out of the way. That's because it is New Year's, and people could be listening to this after vomiting. Or
they
before.
Could be. Or before.
Or before.
Or while.
Yes, during is always good.
Yeah.
But we're going to start the show off with a year in review, what's final on your console, which we're going to do.
Special edition.
What you've been playing over the last couple weeks, and then, of course, some fond memories of what you've been playing over the 2007 year. And then we're going to get into the Game of the Year awards. We have a lot of awards
Game
to give out.
Game of the Year.
We have no special guests to accept the awards.
No.
So Gambuscon will be accepting them all in his tuxedo.
All on behalf of every single one of the nominees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but you have to dress up like the main character of every game. We're going to take pictures of it.
Don't promise people that.
I'm sorry.
That'd be crazy, man.
Yeah, I know. But we're going to start off with what's fondling your console, year in review, 2007 edition. And we'll start with the Wombat.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll go recent first and talk about what I've been playing since the last show. Oh, what have I been playing since the last show? It's pretty much the usual suspects. I've been playing Assassin's Creed some more and Call of Duty 4 some more. Trying to rack up some achievements on Call of Duty 4 and beat that game.
Achievements.
We were discussing before the show the frustrating fact that some of the achievements don't seem to want to unlock even after you complete the
if I have
necessary tasks.
More than three people in a row with a knife, I will piss me off.
Yeah, it's a little annoying. But so I've been playing some of that. I've been playing some more Super Mario Galaxy, as we discussed, and we'll discuss more later, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Been playing, some more Castlevania Dracula X Chronicles on the PlayStation Portable.
PSP. Dude, get your own.
Dude, get your own. I've been playing... What else? I played... Ooh. You know what I've been playing, actually, lately on Xbox Live Arcade?
In lightness.
Carcassonne.
Carcassonne?
However you pronounce it. The free game that they gave away, the little board game. It's actually... It's pretty fun. I mean, I'm probably in the minority there, but I think it's pretty fun. It's a good little time waster.
And if you get into it, it's pretty actually deep. Pretty good. Yeah.
So... Played a little bit of that, and most recently, I've been playing for review the Napoleon Dynamite game.
Idiot!
On the PSP. That game's not 2 years late. but I'll have more on that following a review. Hopefully that'll be up this week on ZTGameDomain.com.
Yes, it is. It's really kind of bad because ZTGameDomain.com looks like it closed. Because there hasn't been an update since
my Uncharted
December
review.
13th, yeah. and I feel bad for that, but you know, I've been busy.
You've been getting married and stuff.
I got married, and then I had freaking Christmas, and you know, when you get married and you have Christmas, there's
Christmas
like 400 places
right.
to go, and I've been playing a lot of games,
yeah.
and I've been lazy. I mean,
right.
There's always
right,
that.
Yeah. It's funny how some people don't seem to even realize that ZT Game Domain is part of the N4G network.
And we are the sister site.
Right.
Like, come on.
Right.
A lot of people read it, though. We're famous.
We're famous. Yo.
We're infamous.
Yeah, that's probably more likely. We did just make a vomit joke at the beginning of this podcast.
We did, but I guarantee you, somebody there listening right now, you're laughing.
Maybe. One of the five's probably laughing.
Or vomiting.
You either have...
or vomiting, yeah.
You either have tears of joy or tears of hatred.
Or tears of vomit.
vomit tears.
That's nasty.
So let's see, have I been playing anything else the last couple weeks? I think that's pretty much it. Uncharted still.
Uncharted!
Still digging through Uncharted. Having some fun with that. But other than that, I think that pretty much sums it up. That's pretty much mostly what I've been playing lately. Usual Suspects, and once again, I'm back to playing MLB 07, the show.
Well, that could go into
the
year of.
The year of, yeah. Why don't I just go ahead and seg into that?
You seg right into that? That's like the cliche of podcasts. Stop segging!
Yeah.
Stop segging into other topics. It's retarded.
Anyways, I'm going to seg into it. You killed my seg, basically.
I'm sorry.
Moment of silence.
Basically, what have I been playing all this year? Let's see. Let's go over it. I liked Lost Planet this year. I played that early.
Wow, that was beginning of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured we might as well go all the way back to the
yeah. Damn, you're going old school.
I am going old school. Crackdown, obviously, was a lot of fun this year. I played that game a lot.
Yeah.
Forza 2 stole a lot of my time this year. As did, of course, MLB The Show, as I've mentioned many, many times. As did Two Worlds, as I've mentioned
Two
many, many
Worlds.
Times. Two Worlds! Also, what stole my time this year? Overlord stole a little bit of my time this year. Tenchu Z actually stole quite a bit of my time this year. I like that game.
I like that game, too. I don't care. I don't care what the media says.
By God.
I don't care what the mainstream says. I like the game.
And I think I gave it a 7.5.
I believe
when
you did.
I reviewed it.
Yes.
So it was good.
He wasn't
it.
Even paid by From Software.
I wasn't.
No.
I'm waiting for my check from talking about Kane and Lynch Deadman on the last show. See, I just said it again. That's another $100.
Kane and Lynch.
Deadman.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I played so much stuff this year. I know as soon as you guys start talking, I'm going to remember most of it. God of War 2.
God of War 2
obviously.
Was
some fun.
God of War.
It was some fun times.
Played, I actually broke out, even though it was a last year game, I actually rebought and played this year Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
That's a game that you can just go back and play anytime, and it's still fun.
Yeah.
It's like a giant superhero orgasm.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And the downloadable content that came out for it this year, that was awesome.
I even went through a little phase. Obviously, I played Halo 3 a lot this year.
Halo, did that come out this year?
It did.
I don't remember when it came out.
It didn't really sell very well.
Yeah.
I even went through a little phase before a lot of the games got made backwards compatible early in the year and broke out my Xbox and played Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Mercenaries and Psychonauts again.
Masterpiece.
Some other stuff.
I want to speak on backwards compatibility. Have you played a backwards compatible game since the fall update?
I have not.
It puts it on your gamer list now.
Nice.
Like I played ESPN football because it's finally backwards compatible, and I wanted to win with my Raiders because they can't do that in real life.
Right.
But I played it the other day, and I go back to my dashboard, and I look at my played games. There it is. This is ESPN NFL 2K5, 0 of 0 achievements. I'm like...
Nice.
So I'm starting to wonder. Are they going to start putting achievements in on
old
games?
It'd be nice. It'd be a little rough, but it'd be nice.
It'd be rough, and, you know, the achievement whores would cry.
They're right.
Like, that's not fair.
That's not fair.
Whatever.
But,
shut up.
I keep telling myself that I'm going to throw Marvel vs. Capcom into the 360 now that it's backwards compatible and start unlocking stuff, but the concept of unlocking all that stuff over again.
That took a long time.
Yeah, and as I've mentioned many, many times, the concept of not being able to use my limited edition Street Fighter stick on the 360 sort of bums me out, but I still want to jump back on there and play it with the shitty 360 D-pad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So... But I'm gonna pass it on, because I don't want to step on anybody else's toes.
He wants to pass the torch.
I'm going to pass the torch on to Gambus, so maybe he can remind me of some other stuff I played this year.
So Gambus...
Disgaea. I played Disgaea.
Disgaea.
No, throw that out. I played Disgaea. Trying to think of the stuff that I reviewed, and Disgaea was good.
If I thought about every game I reviewed this year, I would cry.
Hell.
I can't imagine how many reviews I wrote this year.
Onward.
All right.
What's your recent fondling been all about?
My recent fondling has been about, oddly enough, Wii Sports.
Wow, nice.
My parents are freaking Wii addicts now.
See, this proves the theory.
It proves.
Because if you know GamersCon's parents, they don't like video games.
No.
They despise video games.
Up to about 3 weeks ago... My father probably played maybe an hour's worth of video gaming in his entire life.
That's sad.
And my mom probably played 30 seconds worth of video gaming in her entire life.
That's even more sad.
Now they're probably up to like 150 hours.
Wow.
In the past couple weeks.
Just on Wii Sports, huh?
Specifically bowling.
Bowling is the bomb, though.
It is the bomb. They're addicted. Utterly addicted.
That thing is fun.
It's crazy, and I've played bowling with them. It's pretty fun, you know.
What's it like experiencing your hobby, your pastime that you've loved for 20 years with your parents?
It's very strange. It's very, very, very strange.
I imagine.
Especially when your parents beat you at bowling.
Jason got pwned.
You got pwned by your parents?
I got pwned by my newbie parents.
You have been discredited across the gaming world now that you got pwned by your parents.
That's pretty bad. My dad actually plays games, but he really only plays, like, he loves Tiger Woods. He's a huge fan of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
And he loves the bowling game on the PlayStation, Brunswick Tour Pro Bowling on the original PlayStation. And
sweet.
We used to play, actually, a lot of on Super Nintendo, Super Tecmo Bowl. We used to play a lot of Super Tecmo Bowl.
See, so, my parents, my mother's never played a video game in her life, and my father, he plays the handheld poker games. And that's
oh,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too.
That's it. That's all he plays. He doesn't. I hand him a console controller, he just look at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, what the hell is this?
My dad's actually pretty good at Tiger Woods. Surprisingly enough, he's pretty good.
What else is recent on you besides the bowling?
Most spectacularly, I would say Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy is the bomb.
Freaking amazing!
You know what? I just want to mention this while we're on the Mario Galaxy front. We were talking before the show that I really haven't played as much Mario Galaxy as I thought I would have by now. And you know what? You know what I think it is. This is going to be so freaking shallow and
enlightenment
and horrible. It's because of the Wii's. The Wii doesn't have like the Xbox Live feel, or even the PlayStation Network feel, where people can see what you played.
Yeah,
you can see when your friends are online and what they're playing. And
there's
no achievements or gamer score.
There's no community aspect in the Wii, because even if like you are my friend on the Wii, which you notice since I got a Wii again that we haven't even added each other to that little friend book, because what's the point?
Well, you know what? My wireless router is on the Blink, so I've got a regular router plugged in, so I can't even play the Wii online now.
But what does it matter?
It doesn't.
I mean, like, even if I send you my Mii, hoopty damn do it. You know how many times I go into the Mii channel? Zero.
Right.
I went in there to create myself because you have to have one to do other things. It's retarded, but...
It's just kind of disappointing to me. Like, it's sad to me that I've fallen to that. that instead of playing a game that's really, 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 really good, I haven't played it as much because it doesn't have the community.
No, I totally feel where you're coming from, because like, I'll sit down tonight and I'm like, what do I want to play? And I'm like, I really want to play Mario, and I go, but then nobody can see me if I'm online and I can't hop into another
right,
game,
exactly.
You know? It's an experience, and I'm like, God. So Mario usually gets my playtime in the afternoon when
right.
everybody else isn't like playing.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of weird like that.
Yeah.
But go on.
I haven't faced that problem. When I turn on that Wii and put in Mario, I'm just the whole world freaking disappears.
You know what? That's actually when I finally started playing it, convinced myself that I was going to play farther into it because it was so good. Once I started playing it, it was very difficult for me to stop playing it.
Yes.
Because it's very, very good.
It has to do with the bite-sized levels.
Right.
It's just awesome how small the levels are. It only takes you like 10 right. minutes to complete the longest level.
So
that's a huge thing.
I plan on that's my goal for once I leave here today is to play some more Mario.
Wait till you get to the sweet, sweet galaxy.
Yeah, the sweet galaxy's awesome.
That is badass.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a throwback.
It is a throwback. The music's even a throwback.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We're way off topic now, but speaking of which, did you see they had a video up on one of the websites. It shall remain nameless for now. But it was, I think it was from YouTube. It was a Super Mario mod. Have you seen it? It's like, they talk about how some Mario mods are meant to be harder than the original game, but this one actually punishes you for knowing a lot about the first level of Super Mario Brothers. And like when you run and you try and hit the first block to get a mushroom, the block, every time you hit it, it just goes farther in the air, so you can't get it. And then if you try and go in the in one of the pipes instead of going down in it, it takes you down in it, and then it just shakes and shoots you up into the air and you die. If you try and get the secret one up, a whole bunch of the poisonous ones start coming out and you can't get past it. You have to die. And then like when you get to the flagpole, when you're running up the steps, all these things fall from the sky and kill you. And when you jump off the top to try and get to the flagpole shoots a laser out of it and kills you in midair. It's pretty fun.
What kind of a sick individual would do something like
it's
that?
It's a pretty neat looking little mod. I'll say it since I pretty much talked about the mod. It was on Kotaku, so if you if you jump on there and check it out.
That's interesting.
It's pretty neat.
Sweet. Yes.
So, but anyway.
Sweet like
candy. Continue on about your problem.
I apologize. I just had to get that out.
That's okay. It's variety to the show. Let me see. What else? I play a little bit more Mass Effect. Not a whole lot, but play a little bit more. It's sweet, sweet game, man. It's sweet, sweet game.
I played a little bit more of that, too. I don't know how I forgot that.
It's a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece.
I am not going to start my second playthrough until I finish some of this other shit that I'm playing, because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, let me think. What else? Well, I'll just go back to the beginning of the year. Lost Odyssey. Not Lost
Planet.
Lost Planet.
Wow, dude, you went back into the future. You're like Michael J. Fox over here.
Dude, I was like, from the future, man. Whoa. Yeah, Lost Planet.
Great Scott.
Yes, Lost Planet was a really good game. Crackdown was addictive as all get out.
Yeah, I'm still playing Crackdown. It's ridiculous.
Crackdown is incredible. And
Bless you.
I moved away from the mic. So you couldn't hear that, you know.
Gazoon tight.
Thank you, yeah. German boy.
And bless you. Yes. Okay. Honorable mention. A game that I mentioned like maybe once, like this past year, toward the beginning of the year, was this game called Dot Stream for the Game Boy Advance.
Sounds like a urinary tract infection.
It does.
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid you got the Dot Stream, son.
The Dot Stream.
I'm going to need you to take these antibiotics for 3 days and call me if it's not cleared up by then.
Yeah.
But tell us about your burning sensation with Dot Stream.
Dot Stream is an import game for the GBA. It's a part of a series.
GBA.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a part of a series called the Bit Generation series, which consists of 7 games. And in Japan, they're roughly about $20 each. And what they are is games that roughly have no graphics.
Nice.
No graphical value at all. It's all straight up gameplay. And I got Dotstream, and it's really cool. It's a racing game where you're a line that races. And it's cool because you get to pick the color of your line. So it could be a red line or blue line or green line. So you could pick which line so you know who you are. It's like, whoa, I'm the green line. So
you want to talk about throwback. It sounds like Atari.
Dude, it's awesome. It looks kind of like Tron when you're playing it.
Nice.
It's kind of like Tron. It's got all these colors. It's real colorful, but there's like no detail in the graphics whatsoever. It's just lines. But it's a racing game. And what's cool about it is everybody is moving at the same speed. But there's these obstacles that appear in your way.
And you got to move out of the way.
And you have to move out of the way. And when you move, you lose speed when you move. So what you have to do is figure out the point of least resistance of turning. And so you got when you begin the game, it's like all the computer opponents are making these wide turns, you know. So if you turn very little, you'll beat them real easily. But the further in the game you go, computer starts figuring out, you know, hey, I shouldn't turn as sharply. I'll lose, you know. So they start finding the path of least resistance themselves, and at the same time, the courses become more complex, and then like moving objects appear that you have to dodge, you know. So it gets pretty chaotic, and they start losing. And it's a genius game. You look at it. If you look at a screenshot, it just looks like a bunch of lines. You're like, what the heck is this? But it's really cool. I like it. It's an interesting import. If you go to import game, you know, game site, look up GBA games, look up, it's probably be under dot generation. No, it's bit generations and dot stream.
So it is import only?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They try to sell that over here. Yeah.
Nobody would buy it.
No.
It'd probably sell like 5 copies.
Probably.
I thought you were going to make a Two Worlds joke there.
it probably wouldn't even sell as many as Two Worlds.
You know what? Two Worlds sold quite a few copies.
It did.
Sell
it did.
Well.
But, that and honorable mention, Ratchet and Clank, Future Tools of Destruction, really good game. Uncharted, fantastic.
Ridiculously good game.
Fantastical.
Yes,
I don't think, have I been on here since, we haven't done a show since my Uncharted review went
out. No, we haven't.
People went crazy over it.
People did go crazy over your review. They plastered, your review has become the poster child for the PS3 as the dominant system.
Right, I know. It's kind of sad.
That's quite beautiful, man. And then,
fanboy.
I have to also say, thank you, Dusty, for the system.
Once again, yes.
Yes,
definitely.
Perhaps the best Christmas gift I've ever received in my entire existence.
He delivered my favorite game of the year to me in Mario Galaxy. So.
There you go.
And if you're listening, Dusty, I'd like to say thank you, Merry Christmas, God bless you, and Happy New Year.
Well, I hope he's listening.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he just blankly lets us put it out there. We could just be saying all kinds of profanities on the show.
Yes!
So, does that wrap up your time?
Yeah.
All righty, then.
Yeah.
All right, on to you. I know you've been playing a shit ton of stuff.
Oh, my
year,
God. So. I will start with the stuff that I've already talked about.
How about you just talk about the games this year that you didn't get around to playing?
Oh, then this would be a very short segment.
Yeah.
Well, I'm playing more Time Shift. I'm trying to get through it. I don't know. It's like your atypical first-person shooter. It's just, and it's still, even further into the game, I keep getting these moments where I die, and then I realize that I was supposed to do my time powers, and I have to do it again. Just trial and error bullshit.
Hmm.
I haven't played any more Kane and Lynch. I just have to say Kane and Lynch. Show. playing a lot of Mario Galaxy. I'm trying to think of all the other stuff that I played. That played some more Rock Band. I beat it single player, drums and guitar.
Oh, I almost forgot too. I have to throw this in while I'm still thinking about it. My my beautiful lovely wife got me Guitar Hero 3 for Christmas, and so I've been playing some of that as well.
We had to play online.
I almost forgot. We do need to play it online.
It's fun online. I did play some Guitar Hero. Played online a little bit. I think I tried to play Assassin's Creed again, and I just got mad at it because I was trying to get to the guy that I'm supposed to kill, and I can't get inside his building, and I'm like all frustrated, and I'm just like, and I keep getting seen by the guards, and the guards keep following me around, and the beggars keep bothering me. I finally killed a beggar.
Nice.
The beggar just kept getting in front of me and pissed me off, so I just stabbed him in the stomach. Next thing I know, I'm getting attacked by 4,000 guards.
Nice.
I'm like, damn it.
Like, why? What would they care about a beggar?
I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, if all you got to do is jump into a bale of hay, and the guards see you jump into it.
Yeah, it's so funny when you disappear because they're like, "Where'd he go?" Like in Tenchu.
Like Tenchu.
Where'd you go?
Where'd he go? or Metal Gear. Shh! What was that noise?
All right, and now I get to the new stuff. Yes, I have been playing new stuff.
New stuff.
I played Knights Journey of Dreams for the Wii. I'm working on my review right now. If you like the old Knights, you will love this Knights, as long as you throw away the Wii controls. Use the Nunchuck setup, use a GameCube controller, use a Classic controller. Do not use the motion controls. Period. They're terrible.
That's straight from the mouth of Zero Tolerance. The Wii controls are terrible.
But once you play with the actual controller, it's awesome. Or if you play with the Nunchuck and the Wiimote, it's awesome. If you like Knights, you'll love it. It's almost like a reimagining.
So you're telling me that the best way to enjoy the game that I could have enjoyed on the Sega Saturn, almost 10 years ago, is to not use the motion controls, which is why everybody said it should be on the Wii in the first place.
Actually, it was 11 years ago.
Okay.
And it's a reimagine. It's like I would call it the Tomb Raider anniversary.
Gotcha.
That's exactly what I would call it.
It's like quasi-sequel, but at the same time...
It feels very familiar.
Very familiar to the point of almost being a remake.
Except for the story, they've added some like crazy storyline now.
Oh, and I can only imagine. I remember the story of the original.
The cutscenes, there's an owl, and...
As there is in just about every story of a flying jester.
Yes, and the dialogue is very, very weird.
As it is in just about every story about flying jesters.
An asexual flying jester.
right.
Because and apparently everybody in the world of Knights is now British. Just
nice.
Putting that out there. Everybody's got the accent, so it's...
So everybody's proper.
Everybody is proper. Yeah. Welcome to the world of Nightmare Dreamland. It's crazy.
Hello, would you like to have a pot of coal?
The boss fights are cool.
You know the people who listen to this show in England right now are going, "That's not how we talk!
That's not how we talk, you dirty Americans!
Bloody Yankees!"
Alright, moving on. Also played Burnout Paradise.
Yeah, I played some of that too.
Burnout Paradise. I have to say, from initial impressions...
Oh, I've played it.
I have to say, from initial impressions, I'm still a little on the fence about the... I'm not a fan of open world racing.
Right.
I'm just not. I loved the old... That's one of the things that set Burnout, sad as it sounds, it set Burnout apart from other racing games because it stuck traditional racing. It was just pick your event, do your event, and move on to the next one. With the open world, I mean, I'm sure I'm still going to love it. It's Burnout.
Right.
I'm sure I'm still going to really enjoy it, but I don't know that I buy the open world thing.
Let me ask you a question. Did you play it on 360? Did you play it on PS3?
I played it on 360. I haven't downloaded the PS3 demo yet.
I played it actually on both.
I've heard the PS3 looks a little cleaner.
You know, I mean, it really comes down to personal preference. The PlayStation 3 version does probably look a little better. It's got a little more sheen to it. And the frame rates maybe a touch better. I didn't notice the frame rate problems that some people were talking about on the 360.
I didn't notice any frame rate issues on 360.
But it is maybe a little smoother. But the 360 controller.
Well, the 360 controller is more designed.
Yeah, it's better for a racing style game. So well, I actually probably as far as gameplay goes, I enjoyed the 360 version better, but the PS3 version does look a little better. So it just comes down to which one of those is more important to you.
With a game like Burnout, the rumble is very important, and I'm really hoping that the DualShock 3 makes it out early next year, because I really want to do it with Uncharted.
Right.
I really want the rumble with Uncharted. I just want rumble in general, because I forget how much I miss it until I play without it.
Right.
Oh, by the way, Zero, there's a import shop that you could drive to from here. They got the DualShock 3.
How much are they selling it for, though? That's the question.
Thing is, I was actually quite surprised. $65.
That's only $5 more than it is on the import shop.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I might have to look at it. I also played Kingdom Under Fire.
Circle of Doom.
Circle of Doom. They've changed the game dramatically. It's no longer like a strategy game. It's a 99 Nights type of hack and slash game.
Yeah.
But it has four-player co-op.
Which is nice.
Which most hack and slashes these days don't have for some weird reason. Graphically, it's got a lot of nice little details, like seeing the dandelions and the flowers in the field, and it's got a real nice light bloom effect. But the enemies are really generic so far from what I played.
There's no shock there. The enemies actually, I mean, the art direction of the game, of the series, I should say, is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But once you meet groups of enemies, they've always been a little kind of generic.
Yeah, it's not like 99 Nights where you're fighting the giant frog. It's one of the greatest things ever.
Oh, yeah, the giant frog from 99 Nights.
Yeah, the only thing better than a giant frog is a giant enemy crab.
There we go.
And you can hit its weak point for massive damage.
You know, I played that game, and I don't think I ever saw the giant enemy crab.
You didn't see the giant enemy crab?
I don't think I saw it. It was disappointing to me that I never saw the giant enemy crab.
You know, I'm going to have to get Genji just to fight the giant crab.
See, you're part of the problem, not the solution.
You know, It's all based on actual historical battles in feudal Japan.
With giant enemy crabs.
The giant enemy crab.
Obviously,
sorry,
it was
tangent
extinct.
There. Went off on a three-year-old, or not three-year-old, two-year-old tangent there.
Yeah.
The next game I played was, I'm playing for a review as well, is MX vs. ATV Untamed.
So who wins?
Your mom. Anyway.
Wow.
The thing about MX vs. ATV Untamed is if you have played any of the MX versus ATV games, which there's only one, I think. There's Unleashed. And then
Unleashed.
Before that it was MX Rider.
Right.
And, you're not going to see a whole lot different here. It's pretty much the next generation version of it.
Hmm.
But at the same time, it's still a really good game. It's fun. The soundtrack is great for me. It's got like no effects, Pennywise and Bad Religion in it. The different vehicles are great. The monster trucks are fun as hell. I mean, they always have been.
Right.
The MX bikes are fun. I'm not big on the ATVs.
The ATV.
I'm really not. The little MX minis, those are cool.
Oh, yeah.
The little mini bikes. The off-road, like, dune buggy thing, not nearly as cool as the monster trucks, but it's a huge game. A lot of events to play through. I probably put, like, 4 or 5 hours in it. I don't even have an achievement. I mean, I feel underwhelmed.
Well, a whore like yourself would.
And I still love the free ride game.
Yeah.
Well, you go out into like just the big open environment and you just free ride wherever you want to go.
Yeah, that's we played a lot of that in the last one.
Oh yeah.
Just and online.
I would love to be able to play online, but you know, it's funny because normally I have so many achievement whores on my friends list that everybody plays every game. I mean, God sakes, I have people on there that play Ratatouille.
Right.
I have nobody on my list that's played this game.
That's
I'm the
bad.
Only one on my friends list with this game.
That's bad.
So tell me this, is Ratatouille any good?
Riddle me
I
this.
I don't know. I've never played it.
Never played it? I heard that the movie was really good. I still have yet to see the movie. And I like Pixar.
I saw part of the movie.
I saw
good.
Flushed Away yesterday.
Wow.
Was that any good?
No, not really. And the last game I'm going to talk about is the one all the PS3 people want to know about, but I'm sure most of you have already played it, is Unreal Tournament 3. And for those of you that don't know, I'm a huge Unreal Tournament fan. I've been dying for this game for the longest time. And once I got my hands on this, I felt right at home. It's unreal. And the thing is, with PS3 owners, they're not going to know what that means.
Right.
They've never probably really gotten
experience,
into
yeah.
an Unreal game. I mean, there was Unreal Tournament on the PS2.
But it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. This is a huge step forward for the PlayStation 3. There is no game like this on the PlayStation 3. And it plays so good. It looks friggin' amazing. The mod community has started to pop up. I know there's a lot of issues with it. I haven't tried it yet. There's apparently 3 new maps that you can download, but the problem is you have to put them on like a flash drive and transfer them one by one to
right,
the hard drive.
Yeah.
And it's I just find that so convoluted.
Yeah.
And you got to look at the fact that, and I know there was a big controversy between Penny
right.
Arcade and Mark
and
Crane
Epic, right.
about what about these new consoles that don't have the memory card drives?
Well, you can use USB, but I mean, even if you use USB, it's still a bigger pain. And I mean, nobody can even fanboys spelled B-O-I-S can't argue about the fact that even if you can use a USB flash drive, it's more complicated to download maps one at a time to a USB flash drive and copy them over one at a time than it would be to just download them straight from the PS3's web browser from the game itself.
I heard that there some people have actually been able to make it work through the web browser, and I don't know much about it. Like I said, I haven't toyed around with it.
I mean, then again, this is the first time the mod thing's really been done on a console, so there's bound to be some growing.
There's
pains.
Bound to be some issues, and there's not a problem because, excuse me, out of the box, there's a ton of maps.
Right.
The bot AI is fantastic. The online is smooth as butter. You can even set up your own like dedicated server. It's full of options. I'm not too keen as I haven't been on the gameplay modes like the destroy the base and all that stuff. Right. The different ones. I'm not keen on those. I just love to jump in and just frag.
Right.
Because that's what Unreal is. There shouldn't be any objective base games in Unreal. I'm just all about give me capture the flag, give me team deathmatch, give me deathmatch.
Right.
The vehicles are kind of cool. The hoverboard, I don't really care much for. I don't use it.
Right.
I mean, it's nice to get you from point A to point B a little faster, but I don't like using it. And the weapons, they're the
unreal
weapons.
Right.
For some reason, they still have that shitty green glob gun that does no damage to anybody. And it's impossible to hit somebody with. I'm like, why the fuck did they keep this gun in this game? I mean, seriously, when you have the flat cannon and the rocket launcher and the shock rifle, why the hell would you still have the green glob gun? It's retarded. I pick it up and I throw it away. I don't even want to play with it. It's terrible. But Unreal Tournament, PlayStation 3 owners, if you've never played an Unreal game, this is going to be a rude awakening online, because I will tell you this, and I will tell you this, you will die.
A lot.
Constantly.
Yeah.
But that's the point of the game.
That's unreal.
That's unreal.
Yeah, I mean,
you will spawn immediately.
Yeah, that's,
after
I mean,
you die.
It's funny to see reactions from people online that have never played an Unreal game before.
Oh, it is.
And it's just like, as soon as I spawn in, I get killed. Yeah, that's unreal.
That's kind of how Unreal
that's
works.
That's the way it works.
That's why they call it Twitch shooting.
Yeah.
You have to have ADD to play this
and
game.
And if you play it on the PC, it's even worse.
Oh, the PC.
Not that the game's worse, but it's just so much faster. That,
oh.
And the guys are so good that you die instantly.
Oh, yeah. It does support mouse and keyboard for PlayStation 3,
right.
Which is nice. Which you can also set up servers that eliminate mouse and keyboard on the PlayStation 3.
Which is also nice.
So people can't have an advantage. So.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a fantastic game, and I love it. And it even has this little feature in it called, like, Gamer Card or something like that. So I'm starting to wonder if PlayStation Network's about to implement the little Gamer Card and logging your games online and maybe even some Gamer Score.
You know, people can shout copy all they want to, but they really need something. And I know they got the trophies coming out with Home, but they really
You
need
know
something.
What? I love them in Uncharted.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. Every time it pops up, I'm all excited.
Yeah,
I'm like,
those,
yeah.
And if those things were online and available for everybody else to see, it would be a big step forward.
Oh no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with copying.
Right.
I mean, Sony has no problem with it anywhere else. Why not here?
Nobody has any problem with it anywhere
exactly.
else. They all the big three have stolen stuff from each other. So
yeah,
might as well just steal the gamer score achievement point system and.
I think in the new year we're going to do a show about this, because I've been wanting to do a show about this for a while, and just is achievements the new HD? Are achievements the new online? Is it something that's going to become standard and stuff like that? But we'll get into that next year, because achievements have changed the game.
They have.
You can't deny whether you love them or
absolutely.
Hate them.
Absolutely. In both a positive and negative way.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of negativity, especially online. But
right.
We'll get into all that next year.
We'll get into all that. We'll do it.
But I think that wraps up my fondling.
I hope so.
I'll run back over the year, just like everybody else. Lost Planet. Lost Planet was
a great
January
game.
Surprise. Crackdown was a fantastic February surprise.
Right.
The new Ghost Recon that came out, was that this year? I'm pretty sure that was
Grawl
this year.
2? Yeah, that was
this
year.
Grawl
yeah.
2 was great. Project Gotham 4, one that doesn't get much credit from anybody. Flat Out, Ultimate Carnage is another game that didn't get a lot of credit from everybody. I love both of those games. Of course, I love racing games. So, God of War 2, Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Zombie Ninja Pro-Am.
As bad of a game that it you know, generally is, it's still Aqua Teen, and that's why I still love it. All of the SNK crap that came out this year, I was in Hall
of Heaven,
King of Fighters, and Samurai Showdown, Fatal Fury, and Neo Geo Battle Coliseum, and just all that PlayStation 2 love that I got throughout the year. That was awesome. What's another big one? Fighting games were pretty dormant this year.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Virtua Fighter a lot. I really did. Tekken 5, Dark Resurrection, I actually really liked. Warhawk was a great thing for me this year. PlayStation 3-wise, I mean, there wasn't... MotorStorm is another one that gets overlooked a lot. Overlord is another one that gets overlooked way too much.
Yeah, nobody played Overlord this year.
No, Call of Juarez is another one that I absolutely loved. The Darkness is another game people stopped talking about after a while.
That game was so hyped for a while, and then it came out and just fell off the face of the planet.
I saw it at EB yesterday for like $20.
Nice.
I'm like, wow, that's just sad now. That game was so much fun when I played through it. And that's what's bad about, like, there being so many games, is there are so many games that just nobody pays attention to. And then they play them, and they're like, this isn't that good.
Right.
No, this isn't as good as this.
Right.
It still doesn't mean it's not good.
Right.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why games like Heavenly Sword don't get too much sales-wise, because there's too many other games like it.
Right.
And Heavenly Sword was a good game. I did enjoy playing through that.
We'll discuss more Heavenly Sword later.
Discuss more Heavenly Sword later. I'm trying to mention stuff that nobody else is talking about, really. Like, I don't want to sit here and talk about BioShock for an hour or stuff like that, but there's been a lot of games this year.
It's
been a great, great year for gaming. For the Wii, not so much. I enjoyed WarioWare. I really did.
I enjoyed WarioWare and Super Paper Mario.
Mario I never got a chance to play, so...
Mario was very good. It was very good. I wish I would have devoted more time to it, but it was very good.
It is amazing that game just kind of got forgotten about.
Yeah.
That's not common for a Nintendo title. It'll be one of those titles that in like 5 years people are talking about. Like,
right.
Do you remember how good this game was?
Right.
And it'll get a resurgence, kind of like Psychonauts is doing now. And it'll kind of be like that.
I'm glad to see Psychonauts is getting a little more credit.
You see it everywhere now.
Yeah,
like, everybody's talking about it. It's an original Xbox download and all that stuff, and everybody's talking about it. Like,
Makes me feel warm inside.
Everybody likes to mention it a lot now.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder about his next game, though. I'm still on the fence about it.
I read the article about it and looked at the screens, and it has the potential to be good. And I mean, pretty much anything with Tim Schafer's name on it, I go ahead and gold stamp myself for excitement, because he doesn't usually let down. So I'm sure it won't sell as well as it should.
I'm sure it'll sell crap.
Right.
that's the issue.
Especially if it's a holiday release.
The only thing it's got going for it is, as far as sales goes, it's got Jack Black in it, so maybe that'll convince some people to buy it.
It looks like Jason said, it looks like the characters from Guitar Hero made into an action game.
It does.
Yeah.
This made me laugh.
Guitar Hero!
That's very true. That big guy on the cover, he looks like the guy from Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, it's been a very good year for me. I've had lots and lots and lots and lots of gaming. Oh, yeah, and another game nobody ever talks about is Bullet Witch, Earth Defense Force. I'll throw those two in there for spite.
Bullet Witch. Bless you.
You know, Kane and Lynch is my two worlds. Bullet Witch is my guilty pleasure.
Nice.
It was a fun game. It's not a great game, but it was a fun game. Kane and Lynch, to me, was a good game. I'm sorry. I like Kane and Lynch.
Yeah, how much are you getting paid to say that?
I'm not getting paid anything.
Sell out.
You know what? If I was a sellout, it would be awesome, but I'm not. I'd love to get paid to talk about games I enjoy, but what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
But now we're going to go. It's time for the big daddy.
Yeah, the grand
big daddy.
Finale.
The grand big daddy. So we have our announcer here who's going to take us into this. He's moving around me like ballroom dancing. What's going on?
News for gamers. 2007 Game of the Year Awards, starting with console specific. Best PlayStation 3 game.
Oh, I thought you were just going to do an introduction.
Oh, was I?
I thought we were going to talk about them individually.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
There's an introduction for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I got confused. Like, are you just going to start naming them off?
I was
just going
to start reading them, and then you guys talk about them after I read
them. All right. Just wanted you to do an intro, and then we'd sit around. Okay.
You guys just got to hear a little bit of the behind the scenes of what goes on here.
Yes. You're talking to my monitor.
I know. I leaned in like I was whispering to you in your ear, dear listener.
Oh my God!
All right, well, I'm gonna move back on the other side of here.
I am. That was hilarious.
The palatial noose for gamers.
This is proof
studio.
That we don't do rehearsals.
Right. Yeah. This is proof that there's no post editing. All of this is live to tape.
Yes. All of this is live. All right. We're gonna start off with console specific awards. Basically, what we did in all of these categories is we awarded one top tier game, and then we either listed one, normally one honorable mention,
unless we couldn't narrow it down to one.
Yeah, and then we had to add a couple.
So, but don't expect us to just name those two and move on to the next one, because it'll probably break down a little bit.
And it is always
this show has a tendency to break down a little.
It does, and it is always worth mentioning that all of these choices were made by the three of us. This is our opinion.
Outright.
This does not express everybody at N4G or anybody else. This is our three picks. You can love them. You can hate them. You can agree with them.
You can think we're way off, but you know what? It's just the games that we think deserve these awards the most.
And
so,
what's funny is not all of these games on here we all played. This is just what we agreed with.
Right.
So.
Right. It was kind of done. It was done democratically.
It was done democratically. We put it to a vote, and the votes are in.
The votes.
Yeah,
are in.
We were all wearing white wigs, like the
forefathers.
Forefathers.
I was
of
like,
this
where do you go with extra dry?
Yeah, we were all wearing wigs and we're all proper.
Indeed.
Yes, and we're like, we hold these truths to be self evident that all these games are created not very equally.
We were gathered around a giant round table.
Yes.
So long that we could barely hear each other.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, before we get into the awards, I have to say this. When I was at the mall yesterday, I went to EB. And I went in and I bought my stuff. And I was leaving. There was a guy come in, and he had two little kids with him. And I just kind of brushed past him, but I heard what he said to his kids. And this right here is wrong. What's wrong with America, people? As I was walking out, he looks at his kids and he goes, "This is where the nerds come."
Wow.
I almost stopped and looked at him and it just went off. I almost did. I'm like, "Then why are you here?"
Nice.
This is where the nerds come.
That's awesome.
If I was there and I overheard that, I would have been like,
thank you, Lewis Skolnick. That one was way over our audience's head.
Yeah, no
probably
doubt.
Probably not old enough for that one.
No doubt.
All right, let's get into the awards. Console-specific best of each system, all five consoles, and, well, two handhelds, three
right.
consoles. Best PS3 game. I'm pretty sure that everybody can probably pretty much guess what it was.
Yeah, I would hope.
Uncharted Drake's Fortune by Naughty Dog Entertainment.
Fantastic
Naughty Dog.
Game. Fantastic.
That dog's been naughty.
Wow.
Well, he did make Way of the Warrior. Anyway,
yeah, that's true.
Honorable mention on that was obviously Ratchet and Clank. Ratchet and Clank was a phenomenal game. We just felt that Uncharted deserved the top honors because it's hard to create a game like Uncharted and do it well.
It really is. It's really hard to blend shooting and platforming well and do both well.
And pulp adventure story.
Right. And the hardest thing to do in gaming is to make the 3D polygonal characters believable.
Yeah.
And Uncharted did that, in my opinion, better than any game this year. Nathan Drake was the most believable character I've ever seen as far as animation, voice acting, everything.
It was a really good game.
Very,
it was
very
just
good.
Really good. Next up, best Xbox 360 game. And this one was tough. Came down between two of the big dogs. The winner, obviously coming out of a democratic vote, was Mass Effect.
Yes.
Mass Effect with its incredible dialogue system.
Huge sweeping storyline.
Tons of exploration to do in there. It's hard not to love that game.
Yeah.
Regardless of how shitty of a third-person shooter it is. It really still is hard to hate that game.
Right.
Runner-up or honorable mention was BioShock, obviously.
It was a very close race.
It
very, very close.
It was hard to pick one over the other, but Mass Effect was just a bigger scope. BioShock is just such a great game, but you got to look at it from that.
Right.
Best Wii game.
This was very, very easy.
You think?
It was easy.
As difficult as the 360 choice was, this was very, very easy.
And the winner, obviously, was Cruisin'.
No, we're kidding. It was Trauma Center.
Trauma Center. Hey, that was a good game, though. Mario Galaxy, obviously. Super Mario Galaxy is the game that's going to bridge the hardcore gamers and casual gamers on the Wii console.
We hope.
Hardcore gamers love this game. Casual gamers will enjoy this game. And this is the game Nintendo needed this Christmas to get the hardcores.
Absolutely.
It really is. Runner-up was a little game that people loved when it came out, but they kind of forgot about, which was Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. So,
I still need to get into that game.
That game is, from what I've heard, it's incredible. I still have not played my copy, so I'm not going to tell you it's incredible.
My dissenting opinion, third runner-up, was Super Paper Mario.
Super Paper Mario, another game that doesn't get enough credit that it deserves. Next up, best PSP game, and this was all pretty much Mr. Khan, because I hadn't played a whole lot of PSP, and Wombat didn't play anything but the show.
Hey,
the show.
But he pretty much concurred.
He pretty much dominated the PSP.
Well, I was talking about you.
Oh,
you
yes.
concurred,
yes,
and
I did.
We all agree that Castlevania,
Dracula
by
X.
far, Dracula X Chronicles was the best PSP game this
Absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only for the actual gameplay of it, but for the fact that it has the best unlockable of all time.
Symphony of the Night. Yeah. That was definitely number one.
And the fact that you can unlock the original...
Rondo of Blood?
Rondo of Blood that was released only in Japan and went for hundreds of dollars on eBay.
Right.
On the interwebs.
On the interwebs. You could find that. It's really easy to find. You just basically break a wall and you unlock the game. And it's spectacular. So it's basically three games in one.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then runner-up, honorable mention, Jeanne d'Arc, straight from the mouth of GamesCon.
Jeanne d'Arc, very high production value. It's got incredible anime cutscenes that are really, really well put together. It's got really good voice acting, really good story, graphics are fantastic. Can't go wrong.
Another honorable mention I want to throw out there was Siphon Filter.
Yeah, that was very, very good. Another honorable mention I'd like to throw out there was Disgaea. That was a good game, too. Very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
It was a port, though, so people might have played it.
Now, best DS game is probably not going to be what you expected, but Mr. Khan insists that this was the best game of 2007 for the Nintendo DS, and that would be Hideo Kojima's Lunar Nights.
You cannot deny... Hideo Kojima.
He will come and beat your ass.
Yeah, you cannot deny Hideo Kojima.
Lunar Knights is the Zelda equivalent of a vampire game.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I played the original, Boktai.
Yeah, Boktai was a really good game, but you had to play it out in the sunlight.
Yeah, out in the sunlight.
We know the nerds don't go there.
Right, which was pretty much death to most gamers. Like, as soon as they walked out into the sunlight, they were burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, but problem with that game is, like, or the genius of the original Boktai was, I remember fighting a boss fight against a vampire, and I was outside when I was playing it, you know, because you have to be to get your solar energy. And... I was doing pretty good. I, you know, had him about halfway down. His energy was halfway down. And all of a sudden, a cloud, like, came in between me and the sun, blotted out the sun, you know? And all of a sudden, my power level of my weaponry was, like, halved. And all of a sudden, the boss fight became more difficult in the middle of the boss fight. And I thought that was actually a pretty ingenious thing built into it. It added tension to the actual boss fight that, you know, something in the real world could affect how the game was being played in real time.
That's pretty impressive.
But Lunar Knights, it eliminates the whole solar sensor idea. But it also introduces space... stages where you're in a spaceship and it's like a shoot 'em up game, and it's got anime cutscenes, The gameplay's more flushed out, higher production value. Probably, I'd have to say, probably one of the best DS games of the year.
And then honorable mentions for these were Zelda, Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, I only say that because Zelda, Phantom Hourglass, in terms of portable Zelda games, is actually more of a weaker title. The portable Zelda games that have come before it, like Minish Cap and Link's Awakening, are actually superior.
Minish Cap was made by Capcom, too.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Contra 4, which we have to give the old school.
Oh, yeah. Right? Contra 4. Pain in a cartridge.
Now we move on to genre-specific awards.
Genre.
So, basically, the console-specific awards, if you own those consoles, you should own those games.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't, there's something wrong with
them. Those are just some of the best games.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I was going to create another award on the fly.
Oh, wow. On the fly.
Best PlayStation 2 game.
God of War 2?
God of War 2? And Odin Sphere?
Yes. I was going
to... Odin Sphere?
Odin Sphere, God of War 2, and all the SNK games.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah, Aqua Teen. There you go.
See, I am not biased. Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah, you're not
number
biased.
One in the hood, G. Anyway. Genre-specific awards. We go for best first-person shooter. No, put down the helmet. Yeah, this is my Master Chief helmet. But the best first-person shooter was awarded to Call of Duty 4.
Yes.
So, unless the military is starting to use those helmets... You know, and with Call of Duty 4, and to bring it to speed, Halo 3 was the honorable mention, obviously.
Right.
But because Call of Duty 1 is because of the superior single player.
Yeah, absolutely.
Single player in Call of Duty 4 is phenomenal, and the multiplayer is so addictive.
Right.
That it's hard to deny that you have one of the best first-person shooter packages.
Yeah, it's got its own level-up system.
Yes.
Right.
Which is incredible. I love the perks. I love creating your own class and everything. It was just... phenomenal game. Best RPG. And amazingly enough, this is hard for me to say because it just fleshes out so many bad rumors about this whole crew. But the winner is Mass Effect, obviously.
Absolutely.
With runner-up being Blue Dragon. And it's amazing to me in a year when... The Xbox 360 has the two RPG winners.
Right.
It blows my mind.
Well, there really wasn't. I mean, there were some other, you know, good RPGs on the PSP.
The PSP had a great year for RPGs.
Right, but there really wasn't another huge RPG this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Mass Effect obviously was ridiculously deep. And it kind of... set a new bar for Western RPGs, in my opinion, at least as far as depth of storytelling and conversation. So, Blue Dragon, I did not play, so I withheld my vote.
Yeah,
Blue Dragon
was really good.
I think Blue Dragon was all about its presentation. Is really because underneath that presentation was just a generic Japanese RPG cliche.
Under its presentation, it was Dragon Quest.
Yeah, I mean it's. With Dragon Ball characters as the main characters.
Well, Dragon Quest has always been that way as well.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
it looked like Goku and all the crew.
Dude, Blue Dragon was basically Dragon Quest without the name Dragon Quest.
Yeah, well, it had Dragon in it.
It did.
There's a Dragon in every RPG except Mass Effect.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could probably find a Dragon in Mass Effect. Maybe not physically, but like, you know... conceptually.
Oblivion didn't have dragons.
Two Worlds has a dragon.
Two Worlds does have dragons.
Yeah, it's called the gameplay.
Oh!
I was waiting for a joke about the gameplay dragon.
Oh, there we go. Alright, but we're going to move on because that was a controversial category to best RPG to both go to an Xbox 360 game. But we'll move on. You just can't deny how good both of those games are, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing about Blue Dragon.
Especially from you.
Yeah, I know, because that's all I talked about for like 2 weeks on the show. All right, we'll move on to best fighting game, and the only reason this category was hard because we needed a runner-up.
Right.
but the winner is obviously Virtua Fighter V. Choice-wise, it's always going to go to the 360 version because it has online.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. But if you only have a PS3, you still need to own this game.
You still need to buy it.
Because it's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't have online, well, okay, you wouldn't be able to listen to this, but okay, if you had dial-up, you probably wouldn't be listening to this either. Well, anyway, if internet play is not your forte... either system is fantastic.
Right, because they're both very similar.
Yeah,
as far
they're pretty much the same
and
game.
Everything. They're pretty much the same.
The only difference is that the loading times on the 360 are pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
Because you can't install it to the hard drive like you can the PS3.
Right.
But then you make up for it with downloadable content and online play and achievements. So it's a win-win whichever way you go. Runner-up was Tekken 5 Dark Resurrection, however you wanted to get it on the PSP or the PlayStation Network.
Right.
So...
preferably on the PlayStation Network with online.
Yes, but you had to buy an extra pack for that.
Right.
But still worth it, though.
It's still worth it. It was a great game.
Best adventure game. Who would have won this category? Oh, that might have been Uncharted.
Yeah,
for the PlayStation 3.
This probably could have won best adventure game to come out in the last 5 years.
This is Larry Croft.
Pretty much. But it's... absolutely phenomenal. We can't say enough how awesome it is.
No, it justifies PlayStation 3 purchases all across the globe. And it was really sad to me that we didn't talk about the NPD numbers, but it didn't even show up.
I know.
It didn't even make a blip.
It's so sad to me that a game as phenomenal as Uncharted sold as bad as it did. And, I mean, granted, part of that is because of the install base of the PlayStation 3 in North America, but there's no excuse for it not to have a higher attach rate.
There's still 3-4 million
right.
PlayStation 3s, and for it to not even make a blip,
right.
And it's one of the biggest, like, you know, landmark
right.
titles. Neither it or Ratchet made the blip,
yeah.
Which is just depressing.
Yeah.
That is depressing.
It hasn't sold great worldwide, but it's sold better worldwide, which is nice. It's made up some of its ground in Europe. Uncharted has it released late there, but it deserves to be owned by every single PlayStation 3 owner. If you have a PlayStation 3 and you haven't bought Uncharted yet, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Yeah, man. I want them to make a Uncharted like a sequel, man.
Absolutely.
Because the characters are just so cool. You know, it's like the video game equivalent of Indiana Jones. Well, quite literally.
Right.
But also, in terms of character development, the writing was excellent.
Yeah.
I figure if they do a sequel to Uncharted, it'd be like, you know, returning back to a ensemble cast of excellent characters, you know?
Absolutely.
Definitely worth it.
It definitely has franchise written all over it.
Oh,
so
yeah,
go out and buy it so they can justify making a second one.
Everybody on this podcast tells everybody that owns PlayStation 3 right now to go buy Uncharted.
Yes.
Runner-up in this category, and she just seems to get it by default so many times, but Tomb Raider Anniversary.
Yeah.
But this time, for very good reason, it was a phenomenal game.
Yep.
It is a reimagining of the first game, and you can get it in pretty much any flavor.
Right.
You can get it downloadable from Xbox Live, which is really cool, but you have to own Legend.
Right.
You can actually buy it on the 360. You can buy it on the Wii with Wii-specific controls, which I heard weren't very good.
Right.
But you can still get it. And then, of course, you can get it on its original format in the PlayStation 2 version.
There's even a PSP version.
Yep.
Which is supposed to be, like, spot on.
Right.
So
there you go.
Lara is definitely worth picking up this year again.
Again.
So.
And something tells me she's going to be in the wars next year as well.
She might be.
She's got a new game coming
out.
It
looks pretty good,
too.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Which I was reading, you know, not to once again veer off subject, but I was reading that the original creator, Soul Reaver, has now left Crystal Dynamics.
Crystal D, yeah.
And the reason why they haven't made a sequel is because of the really piss-poor sales.
Actually, I believe she is with Naughty Dog. I believe she worked on Uncharted.
Yeah, she worked on Uncharted, but the chances to see a new Kane... Are slim to none,
which is very disappointing.
Yeah.
It's sad because he used to be a staple name
right.
in franchises, and now he's pretty much all but forgotten.
Right.
But we'll move on to Best Action Game. This was a great category. So many games, but we ultimately have to give credit where credit is due to the mastermind, Dave Jones, and his team that created Crackdown. quite possibly the greatest co-op experience this year.
Yeah.
One of the best sandbox games I've ever played.
Absolutely.
And the art style is just ridiculously cool. And it never gets old, throwing cars and...
Yeah, I've never had more fun doing random stuff in a video game than I did with Crackdown.
It got what Grand Theft Auto wanted to do with the random stuff so well that... And I continue to dream of a superhero game using this engine.
Right.
I just do, because it's a superhero game.
It would be... I mean, it would be perfect for... it would be perfect for a Hulk game.
Yeah.
It would be perfect for just about any superhero you could think of.
Oh, yeah.
Superman, it would be great. Superman game
would be great. It'd be a great Batman game.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of jumping, you'd have the little toys and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it just... There's so much possibility there, and it's sad that they didn't sign on for a sequel fast enough so that they're working on something else.
Right.
I'd love to see some upgraded Crackdown.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll get more downloadable content.
Hopefully.
Downloadable content is awesome.
If there was a category this year for best downloadable content, Crackdown, I think, would win that.
Crackdown or Shivering Isles,
right.
One of those two, because the Crackdown downloadable content was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a Crackdown with 4-player co-op?
Oh, I dream about that. What are
that
you talking
about?
That
would be pretty
nice. I just dream about
it. Yeah.
Alright, runner-up on that one was God of War 2, and that doesn't take anything away from God of War 2. It just really says how good Crackdown was.
Right.
God of War 2 was a great action game this year, and still the definitive hack and slash.
And it says a lot for the fact that in a year that was dominated by the next-gen consoles, that a PlayStation 2 game can win runner-up to Action Game of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that says a lot for God of War 2 and the studio that created it, because they maximized the PlayStation 2's hardware
for
that game.
That game is just... It's friggin' amazing, and I see with Chains of Olympus, I see the siphon filter effect coming, where it'll release on PSP, and then 6 months down the
road,
we're
going to
see
PS2 version. Absolutely.
So everybody that doesn't have a PSP will get to enjoy it.
And speaking of which, if nobody's checked it out lately, check out the new gameplay footage for Chains of Olympus, if you haven't looked at it in a while.
It looks a lot better.
Since the patch for the PS2, where they upped the processor, or the PSP, I'm sorry, where they upped the processor to 333 megahertz.
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
Yeah,
it looks
really
just like the PlayStation 2 version, basically.
Yeah, it looks really good. The only thing I worry about is the no right analog stick, as always.
Right, but, I mean, really, you know, they can accomplish, you know, a dodge with holding a shoulder button and moving or whatever. So
yeah, but then you lose a shoulder button,
right.
though, and that sucks.
Yeah.
Because it only has two as opposed to the PlayStation 2's 4.
Right.
So. But still, it looks...
It does look phenomenal.
So I look forward to playing it on the PS2 when the inevitable port comes out.
Right.
Next up, best strategy game. And we went over this and over this and over this and over this because there were so many choices, so many options. And we finally decided on two games. We didn't give a winner. We didn't give a loser. Honorable mentions in there were Overlord, Final Fantasy Tactics. I mean, there was just so much stuff going on this year. But the final two came down to Jeanne d'Arc and Command & Conquer 3 Tiberium Wars for the Xbox 360. So
the Command and Conquer, EA has really nailed the real-time strategy controls on a console to the point that I hope when Halo Wars comes out next year that they take a cue from EA and you know basically do the equivalent of the same controls, because the concept of a real-time strategy game on a console has basically been was basically forgotten about for a long time because everybody assumed it wouldn't work.
Then Battle for Middle-Earth came out.
Then Battle for Middle-Earth came out, and it just...
It worked.
Yeah.
For some weird reason, it worked.
And the reason I have to so strongly vote for Command & Conquer 3 is because, and the people in this room know this, but I hate real-time strategy games.
Oh, yeah.
I've always hated real-time strategy games, and Command & Conquer 3 hooked me.
When I handed the controller to you,
yes.
I said, here, try it, you'll like it. And the next thing I know, he's like, oh my god, this is friggin' amazing.
It hooked me, and I'm really looking forward to the expansion once the expansion comes out, Cain's Wrath.
It's kind of funny that you mentioned Halo Wars and how you hope that they adopt the EA method of real-time strategy, because I heard that with Halo Wars, they're actually making the game from the ground up specifically for 360.
Right.
And supposedly, the overall gameplay is actually going to be a lot more simplistic.
Really?
Than, like, Command & Conquer. It's going to be really simplistic to where you can just jump in, and it'll feel
right
with the controller.
That's good, because they're going to have a lot of fans of Halo that have never played a real-time strategy game before that are going to pick up that game. So, It's got to be pick up and play.
Oh yeah.
So.
But that was definitely a rough category, but
right,
it was a tough category. Yeah.
It was, and I mean, we had games like Overlord that's kind of on the fence, where it's half strategy, half action.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that gets lost in a lot of the genre-specific awards is there's games that don't fit neatly enough into any category to allow us to vote for, like BioShock. I mean, where does that fit in?
First-person adventure.
Right.
But there isn't that category.
Right. So it's if people are wondering, well, why didn't BioShock win first-person shooter or anything like that? It's because some of these games span so many genres that it's very difficult to give them a genre-specific award when they don't fit in.
And I think that in the upcoming years, it's going to be even tougher.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot tougher, but people have to realize that you can't make an award just so every game gets one.
Right.
So that's really what you got to you got to deal with that.
Yeah, right. Like a Mountain Dew award.
Mountain Dew game-fueled award of the year.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you.
Didn't see that one coming.
Next up was Best Racing Game. And there was a lot of choices here.
There was. Yeah. There was a lot of fighting back and forth.
There was a lot of fighting back and forth.
A lot of quality choices.
Even though I don't necessarily enjoy it as much as most people, I can't deny that Forza 2 was hands down the best overall racing game of the year. Whether it's the implementation of online with the auction house or downloading cars, gifting cars, buying cars, the downloadable content, the interaction with the website, the customization of the cars, the amount of cars, the beautiful graphics, the great control.
Yeah.
That game is hard to not appreciate.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't like it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that was an easy choice for the first one. The second one
was tough.
The runner-up was tough because everybody likes MotorStorm. MotorStorm was a great game. But eventually we settled down on Dirt because Dirt is just, it plays phenomenal. It's one of the best looking racing games I've ever seen. The damage modeling is incredible.
Right.
And
it's multi-plat, which helps.
Yeah, it's multi-platform. The only thing that holds Dirt back is its multiplayer, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Which
is actually where MotorStorm kind of excels. So
yeah.
It kind of, I mean, like he said, it was a very tough decision back and forth between those two for runner-up. So.
And then, like I said, as when we were talking about it, also Project Gotham gets forgotten.
Yeah.
And it's a phenomenal game. So, thing is, if you're a racing game fan this year, you had everything.
Right.
You had a Destruction Derby game, you had an off-road game, you had an arcade racer, you had a realistic simulator. This is all, of course, granted you had both consoles, but
right.
You still had them all.
And the good news is it looks like you're going to get the same thing next year.
Yeah.
And that's fine by me.
Between Burnout and Gran Turismo.
That's fine.
Everything else coming
out next
year. I
mean, as long as there's options for everybody, it's all good with me.
Yep.
So. But I'm also interested to see what Bizarre is going to do next, now that they're owned by Activision.
Right.
So. That should be fun. Best sports game. No, John Madden did not make it in this category. I am sorry.
Half of our audience just left.
Yeah.
And the winner, as decided by Mr. Baseball himself, is MLB 07 The Show. And honestly, I can't disagree with that because I've heard nothing but phenomenal things. And this is, of course, for PSP or PS3 or PS2.
Right.
Whatever you want, whatever your flavor is. It's just this game just plays so good and it's so deep and just what makes it great.
Yeah, the career mode in it is the single greatest career mode in a sports game ever. And from what I understand, they're beefing it up for next year's version, which has me completely jacked. But the ability to take control of one player through his entire career from the minors, from AA to AAA to the majors, back and forth. The greatest invention of all time is that you only have to play when your player is either getting hit the ball or it's his turn to hit.
Just like Madden.
So, right. So if you're at third base, you're only going to play when the ball's hit to you or when it's your turn to hit. If you're a pitcher, you know, you only play every fifth game if you're a starter. It's a perfect way to do a career mode, and it really gets you attached to the player that you've created. It's nice to see him progress. So I'm hugely jacked for MLB 08, but 07.
And you'll be able to play it on the PlayStation 3 this
absolutely.
Year.
Absolutely.
So that's a big
and
thing.
It, you know, it'll be actually designed for the PlayStation 3, which is nice, because last year's PlayStation 3 version was basically just an upgraded port of the PS2 version.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty jacked up about that, but it was definitely the best sports game this year. Definitely.
And runner-up goes to, and this is funny because I'm the one that chose this, but college football, NCAA 2007, it amazes me. Or it was 2008,
right.
I'm sorry. But it just amazes me how good that game plays, and it makes me, it boggles my mind why the folks at Tiburon and EA Sports cannot make Madden play this good. EA's college football is the best playing football game since my glorious days of 2K football. It plays so good. It's so fast. It's so responsive. I just don't understand why Madden doesn't feel as good. Because I hate college football. I can't stand it. But that game, if you had, you know, the players in there, like the real NFL players, that would be the football game. I mean, I love it, and I don't like Madden. And I hate college football, and I love the NFL, so go figure.
There you go.
I don't know. But another honorable mention, obviously, for me was All-Pro. I love All-Pro football.
Another honorable mention for me would be Tiger Woods, 2008.
Tiger Woods was a good one, too.
Onward.
Moving on. Best rhythm game. Question, though, is, did we pick Guitar Hero or Rock Band?
Right, that's the eternal question.
The eternal question, and the truth comes out that Guitar Hero 3, overall, is just a better game. It just is. Has a better song list. I mean, it's just a better rhythm game.
Right.
You know, granted, you're talking multiplayer, we're going to go with Rock Band
right.
every day of the week. But with the faulty hardware, the crappy song list, you know, it's hard. But Guitar Hero, definitely number one, Rock Band number two. Best downloadable game.
And we should mention, before anybody freaks out and gets their panties in a bunch, that certain games were excluded from this list if they were available box and disc, or if they were, you know, too big or expensive. For example, Warhawk was excluded from this list because it was both available box and disc, and it was, you know, $40. Tekken Dark Resurrection was excluded from this list as well because it was available on the PSP as well.
My big thing with this is these are the bite-sized games
right.
from Live Arcade, Virtual Console, or PlayStation Network. But the list was very long.
Yeah.
There was a lot to choose. We pretty much didn't go for Virtual Console mostly because they're just ports.
Right.
You don't get anything new out of those.
Right.
But the winners, and we have to say that there's 1,000 honorable mentions.
Right.
Super Stardust HD was great. Calling All Cars was great. Pain was great. Undertow was great. I mean, there are so many great bite-sized games. But it was easy to pick the Pac-Man Championship Edition
yeah.
as the number one game because it took an old franchise, it made it new, it redefined the gameplay, it made it addictive, and it just was the best downloadable game.
It is the true successor to Ms. Pac-Man.
Absolutely.
All the other Pac-Mans since Ms. Pac-Man were basically like side stories or like dramatic alterations of gameplay mechanics.
Like Pac-Man World.
Yeah.
Pac-Man Fever.
Yeah, but, you know, basically games that went, you know, away from the formula, whereas Championship Edition returned back to formula, and it is the successor to Ms. Pac-Man. I mean, it was created by the same individual who created Pac-Man. It's amazing.
Oh. Well. We also, other honorable mentions, obviously Puzzle Quest, but it's been pretty much ruled out because of
right, because
it's being available, it
available
on consoles.
On DS.
Yeah.
And PlayStation 2 and Wii.
Yeah.
It's on
it
all
available
it's,
on everything. So.
That was actually our second pick, but we had to eliminate it.
We had to eliminate it.
But I mentioned plenty of other great games in there, like Pain, Undertow, and
right.
Super Stardust HD, Calling All Cars,
Everyday Shooter.
And Xbox Live was just tore up this year with great stuff. Probably Omega 5 would have been in there had it made it out this year.
Yeah,
which
it was supposed to.
SpongeBob SquarePants. Underpants Slam.
Man.
Yeah, I said it. I did.
Yeah, you said it.
I said it.
Honorable mention, Virtual Console, the Wii. I know all the games.
You want to talk about Sin and Punishment?
Yeah. Since they never really released a hard
right.
copy in the United States, yeah.
Sin and Punishment.
If you got a Wii,
you should get Sin and Punishment.
Exactly.
But it's only if you have a GameCube controller or a Classic controller.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want to. You can't even play it with the Wiimote.
Yeah, you can't. So, There you go. Honorable mention.
Let's just say that I look forward to 2008 with the amount of downloadable games that are going to be coming, and we're going to start the year off bright with Metal Slug for the Xbox 360 Live Arcade. So.
I cannot wait for Street Fighter 2 HD.
Super Street Fighter 2
oh,
HD, man. Coming out this year. Oh, we forgot Puzzle Fighter was released on
Puzzle Fighter.
PSN and Xbox Live this year. So.
Yeah.
There's so many great downloadable games, but we all agreed that Pac-Man Championship Edition was the best one.
Absolutely.
And also, really quick, another honorable mention, Virtual Console, Super Metroid, one of the best games ever made.
Or Castlevania Symphony of the Night. See, it just keeps going.
It just keeps going.
It just keeps going.
This really was, and
it gets overlooked a lot. This really was a great year for downloadable games.
Oh, it was a phenomenal year, whether you're talking about the back catalog from Nintendo, or if you're talking about the PlayStation Network and it finally getting on its feet with some great games, or Xbox Live Arcade, which just blew up this year.
Right.
So, all right, we're going to move on to the next category, and these are the overall awards. And we start with Best Story, which was very easy to pick number one.
Yeah. But very difficult to pick number two.
But BioShock walks away with Best Story of the Year, by far. With honorable mentions, of course, being Assassin's Creed and Uncharted.
And Mass Effect.
Basically,
we've got an entire list of honorable mentions.
Yeah.
There really were a lot of great stories and games this year. It really was a fantastic year for that. It was a fantastic year overall. I don't know what I'm talking about.
It was a great year. Next up, best game to be adapted into a movie. If a game had to be made into a movie, what would be a good one? And we welcome you to the Assassin's Creed, Uncharted, Mass Effect, BioShock, Call of Duty Awards. Assassin's Creed is our pick for best game to be adapted into a movie because if you think about the world and the situation, be like Matrixy,
right?
All Matrixy,
right?
And that would be very cool.
And even if they just kept it, even if they left out the questionable storyline twist, it would be great to see a game based on the group of assassins in the Crusades.
Oh yeah.
So
I mean, that's the thing about Assassin's Creed is that it may not have been the best game. In a general rule, but it had great production, had great ideas and architecture.
It had full of great ideas.
Yeah.
And then the runner-up was Mass Effect, just because this could be the new Star Wars.
Right.
I mean, it really could. The universe is phenomenal, and there's so much information in there, and it's just great. Most deserving of a sequel, a game that we feel needs to get a sequel, and we eliminated the obviouses that are going to have Mass Effect trilogy. No shit, it's going to get a sequel.
Right.
But we look at games that may not get a sequel, and that would start with Uncharted. Yeah. And this game is the biggest game that deserves a sequel.
Absolutely.
This game needs a follow-up. And then, of course, runner-up, once again, welcome to the Assassin's Creed runner-up awards. Assassin's Creed deserves a sequel after the ending, definitely. There's so much that they could do there. You could make a Hitman.
Right.
You could have him as assassin in the future. So there's a lot of ideas. I think I just spoiled the game, didn't I?
You may have.
I may have, but you know what? If you don't know about it by now, you know, we're over that hump.
Yeah.
It's
if you don't know about the twist by now, it happens in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Exactly. All right. Game you regret buying. It's funny enough, this was one of the hardest decisions because we have so many demos and things now that we usually don't buy shitty games, depending on your opinion of a shitty game. But
right. I bought Two Worlds.
Yes, you did.
I didn't regret it. I didn't regret it. You hear that?
Game you regret buying, the first one comes up from Mr. Khan, who picked Rune Factory.
Yeah.
Which was funny because the first week you had it, you talked about it on the show and you got everybody excited about it.
I was...
You were blinded.
I was blinded by the light.
Wow.
But it had a lot of good ideas, and I actually enjoyed the game for maybe about the first hour or so. But it seemed like every hour I was putting into it got worse and worse.
Yeah, that's never
and
a good
worse
quality.
And worse, and I was just like, ah!
Whoa, damn.
I was like...
That's pretty excessive.
I was like, man, this game, even though it has a lot of good ideas, fundamentally sucks.
Wow.
Damn.
That's pretty rough.
The runner-up was chosen by me, and the game I regretted buying this year was Eternal Sonata, and not because it was a bad game inherently, but because it was just really boring. It just really was, and I bought it to play co-op with my wife, and I just did not enjoy it. I mean, we played it once.
She fell asleep.
No, she didn't. Well, I'm surprised she didn't fall asleep because the co-op kind of sucks. I mean, you don't get achievements together. You just it's just not a. I don't know. I regretted paying $60 for that game. I did. And that's the whole point. It's not a bad game. I just regretted buying it.
Honorable dismention. Game that I regret buying my $60 was Two Worlds. And I have to say...
You shut your mouth.
I have to say, Two Worlds had a lot of really good ideas done really wrong.
We'll you know what game later. I don't regret buying?
What's that?
Kane and Lynch.
There's $100.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, there's $100 right there. You get paid.
All right. Well. Best new IP. This is just like the game most deserving of a sequel. We start with Uncharted and runner-up Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
It's the Uncharted Assassin's Creed
I
Awards.
I see a pattern here.
I do see you now.
Yeah.
Both of which had fantastic ideas. Uncharted obviously implemented them a lot better than Assassin's Creed did. But there's a lot of potential there for both.
I want to call this right now. If Assassin's Creed gets a sequel, I think it's going to be Game of the Year when it comes out. I just think it had so many good ideas. The developers will take all the feedback that they got from Assassin's Creed. They will fix all the problems with it, and it will be phenomenal. I think it's going to be
very possible.
It's going to be something to look at when it comes out. All right, sleeper hit, and these are two games that they were really damn good, and they got no respect. Like Rodney Dangerfield, these games got no respect.
I tell ya.
Earth Defense Force 2017, probably the most underlooked game of the year by far, is this traditional throwback B-movie shoot 'em up with giant robots and monsters and 56 levels of pure mayhem.
Yeah,
and it was a beautiful game. Nothing like blowing giant ants up.
If you're a fan of old Japanese monster movies like Godzilla or Gamera. Speaking of which, Godzilla, they actually have the Earth Defense Force in Godzilla movies. So you could almost say that the game is like a side story to Godzilla.
Well, I was thinking with Earth Defense Force 2017, we were going to start seeing more of the Simple 2000 games come out over here in America.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? I can't pronounce that. Onichimbara Vortex or whatever.
Yeah.
That was supposed to come out over here. And it... There is no game that says Japanese more than that game. With a girl in a cowboy hat and her panties running around slashing up zombies with a sword and a shotgun.
That's pretty Japanese.
That is very Japanese.
That's like flat out, anime.
I mean, the cowboy hat anime threw me sugar. Off for a loop. It was crazy. All right, but the second game, and this is a game that was kind of funny when it came out. I didn't actually really want it. I just had some extra credit, so... I bought it, and it turned out to be one of the most enjoyable experiences I had all year. It's hard to do a good Western, and it's only been done a couple times. Gun comes to mind.
Red Dead Revolver.
Red Dead Revolver comes to mind, and Call of Juarez will now come to mind when I think of a great Western. It takes two characters, and it lets you play them. One of them's an action game, one of them's a stealth game. The multiplayer was good, the weapons were great, the graphics were really good. And nobody bought it.
Yep.
It's sad. I mean, this was the year of the first-person shooter, and one of the ones that had the most original idea got overlooked.
Yeah.
So. Next up, the games most deserving of their hype. BioShock.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
BioShock was number one, followed up by Mass Effect.
Absolutely. And we'll probably catch some flack for the Mass Effect mention because of the glitches, but you know what? The glitches, people are making too big a deal out of them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The overall storyline and everything that went into it made it well deserving of its hype, in my opinion.
Yeah. Plus, you had the crazy alien lesbian sex scene.
Right.
So.
Which is nice.
I guess.
Yeah. I guess.
It's different.
It's different.
Controversy.
Right. Yeah. Anyways.
All right, moving on. Most undeserving of hype. And I've been told that I'm going to get a lot of flack.
Uh-oh.
Probably for both of these. Maybe not so much for the second one.
Yeah, maybe not so much for the second one.
The first one is Heavenly Sword. And the reason why Heavenly Sword is on this list is because it was touted as being the game to justify your PlayStation 3 purchase.
Yeah.
And it just really wasn't. It was a decent hack and slash game that was gorgeous. Great visual presentation, great cutscenes.
Great animation, facial animation.
It was gorgeous to look at, but once you broke it down, the combat was just kind of boring. It's not that it wasn't deep, and it was really short.
Right.
Like, ridiculously short.
Yeah.
So, I have to say that after I finished that game, I was really like, this was supposed to justify my PlayStation 3. And probably had I not been so hyped on it, it just kind of came out of nowhere, it'd have been like, oh my god, this, you know.
Right.
And the second game on this list. Oh my god, did you really just say that? It's Halo 3. And it's,
no!
It's not because Halo 3 is a bad game. Because
it's absolutely not.
It's a friggin' phenomenal game. But.
But.
It's a very expected game.
Right.
They were touting it as being like the revolution of the first-person shooter, and it is not.
The second coming of Christ.
And I mean, to be fair, Halo 3 almost had to win this award because it was so hyped.
Yeah.
There was no the hype that was behind Halo 3, there was no possible way that any game was going to live up to
it. It's like you had that documentary about the...
Right.
About that museum piece.
Right.
And how it was taking itself so seriously, like if it was actually historical documents and stuff.
I mean, it basically Bungie and Microsoft, more Microsoft than Bungie, basically set this game up to win the most undeserving of hype award because there was no way it was ever going to live up to the hype.
It's amazing now that in retrospect that you look at it and the Halo 2.5 references don't seem that far-fetched. I mean, it's still not worth calling Halo 2.5, but... It is
like,
Halo 2
it's more
with
like,
four-player co-op, screenshots and downloadable videos and new maps.
Yeah, but that's a lot of stuff to just be saying Halo 2.5.
Well, yeah, I mean, people say the same thing about Madden every year, and if you look deep enough, there's a lot in there.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I am
in disagreement with that. But
I will get burned at the cross because people think I don't like the game. It's not that. I love Halo. I love playing it online. The single player, you can keep it. I really didn't. There were a few levels that were enjoyable to me, but for the most part, it wasn't a great experience from beginning to end. It just wasn't. And even playing four-player co-op, it's like you get bored.
Right.
And that's not good in a single-player game.
Yeah. I wouldn't agree that it's Halo 2.5, but I would probably say it's like Halo 2.8.
See, I don't agree with any of the... Like, if you're in a franchise, there's no such thing as, you know... Because, I mean, then you might as well say that Tekken 5 is just Tekken 4.5. And that Virtua Fighter 5 is just Virtua Fighter 4.5. Any game in a franchise is going to be... like the games before it.
Oh, yeah.
There's no such thing as...
But the problem with Halo is that it got too much hype, and that's why the 2.5 things came
out. Right, well, yeah, I mean, that's...
What I really wanted from, like, the single-player experience of Halo 3, and it delivered at certain points, was the oh my freaking God moments, you know what I'm saying?
That's what Halo 1 did really well.
Yeah.
Because you'd never seen some of that stuff, and like the outdoor battlefields, and that's really what Halo does well, is those outdoor huge, but like the Scarab battle,
that was a freaking God
moment.
The two moments in that game that made me say, oh my God, both involved the Scarabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really like, but the confined shooting and like the buildings and stuff, It really wore on me.
Yeah.
Especially like my third or fourth time through when I was playing through co-op with different people. It just really wore on me. I just didn't care anymore. I didn't want to play it. And the flood levels at the end, I hated those.
Oh, yeah.
I hated them.
Like the third to the last stage.
Being inside the giant asshole.
Yeah.
I hated that level. I hated that level. Especially since you had to go and backtrack through it.
Yeah.
To come back out. I hated that level. I hate the flood. I don't think they're interesting. But that's just me.
They're annoying.
They are annoying.
I think it's interesting, but I do. It's kind of I am annoyed by it.
It was interesting in the first one.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of. I mean, I don't know. I think, like I said, the people who take it the wrong way and think I'm being too harsh on the game, I think it still has one of the top multiplayer games ever made. and I will play it for a very, very, very long time. There's no doubt about that. Just Microsoft built it up way too much.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right, let's move on before we get killed. Most innovative game.
Halo 3. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop it. Rock Band, obviously, was the top choice. Just so much into making a full band game. Vocals and guitar, bass, drums.
Quite an undertaking.
It is. To make it all work in the same. And just how much they did to it to make it work. Regardless of the faulty hardware. We don't want to talk about the faulty hardware. But if you get hardware that works, that game, top notch. And then obviously the second choice would be Sony's Eye of Judgment. Which, whether or not you like Magic the Gathering or all that card playing crap.
Crap!
Yeah, I said that.
Jeez. Snap.
But the technology behind the iToy is just amazing. Just watching the cards lay down and create your battles and how it can read whether or not you're cheating. And it just, that whole setup is awesome. And it just really is.
Agreed.
All right, we move on to best technology. Eye of Judgment.
Eye of Judgment once again.
And the reason why Rock Band didn't win this is because, like we said, faulty hardware.
Right.
Eye of Judgment works. It works well. It's a great technology. I look forward to seeing it in other game types.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's perhaps the most advanced console camera.
I've heard that people are creating games for it now where you can do Wii motions. It actually registers depth of field.
Yeah.
So you can do Wii motions with just your hands. No controller
That's
involved.
That's pretty impressive.
So
it's like, it's like a glimpse at
It's like
what
Totem
the future.
Ball 2008.
Wow. If it's anything like Totem Ball 2008, I will cry.
I will too.
Cry tears of blood.
Totem Ball was the worst game ever.
It was pretty bad. Yeah. Honorable mention for best technology, and this is probably the most overlooked thing, and my wife was actually the one that mentioned it, was the Xbox Live Messenger kit.
Yeah.
I mean, just the idea of attaching a keyboard to a controller for a system that's so dominated by lots of text with entering your card codes, your Xbox Live codes, sending messages back and forth, typing in stuff in-game. It was a brilliant piece of technology.
It's very, very convenient.
It fits to the controller very well. They've done the whole attached keyboard thing before, and it really made the controller
kind of feel
bulky. The Messenger kit for the 360 pad fits the controller perfectly.
It makes it look like a Jaguar controller, but it doesn't feel like a Jaguar controller.
Right.
So it was a beautiful piece of technology. Best character. Yeah, it is. It is. It's Drake.
It's Drake. It's Drake. Come on, you knew it was coming.
Han Solo, Indiana Jones guy. You know, it's Drake.
You knew it was coming.
He was Everybody's Drake. Drake wins best character with honorable mention being Mr. Rex from...
Mass Effect. Who most people probably will not think of, but he was a great character, had a great backstory.
And every time he talked, I was just so amazed at how, graphic his face was. It was
just
so amazing. And his backstory, and there's a little part in the game you come up on where you have a conversation with him that's very imperative to the storyline, and it's really good. So, I mean, just his backstory and everything is just great, and how much hatred he has for different people, and how he always wants to kill everybody.
Right.
I mean, that was just a great, great character. Best villain.
Da da da.
Da da da. No, wait, it's not Darth Maul.
No, it's not Darth Maul. Andrew Ryan from BioShock.
Oh yeah.
And see, it's hard to talk about this without the spoiler coming out.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's just say it's Andrew Ryan.
It's Andrew Ryan from BioShock.
I'll put it to you this way, without giving much away, but also at the same time, like giving you a hint as to why he's the best villain. Andrew Ryan is a villain in this game that basically tips the scales of what a video game is. That's how much of a villain he is.
That's fair enough. But see, the thing about BioShock, though, is I also go back to the Assassin's Creed argument. If you don't know by now, that's bad. I know you don't know. That's the only reason I'm not saying anything. But you don't know. And it's terrible because it's not like Assassin's Creed where it was like, oh, I kind of expected that.
Right.
In BioShock, it's kind of like, oh, you motherfucker. You got me. Kind of like the first time you saw The Sixth Sense. You like, right. You bastard, you got me.
Well, The Sixth Sense got ruined for me.
Oh, see, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
See, that movie ruined is just takes away the whole movie.
Right.
It really does. But it's that kind of feeling, like, when you see it, and you're like, oh, whoa, okay, damn, that was good.
I think that particular plot twist kind of gave me nightmares.
It's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
The runner-up on Best Villain was GLaDOS because the cake is a lie.
The cake is a lie.
Yeah,
cake
is a lie. I wanted my freaking cake, man.
Are you ruining the spoiler? Well, you haven't beat it. You can't be ruining the spoiler.
Dude, I kind of know there's no cake at the end, you know?
Oh, it's become pretty obvious. You don't know about the cake. I know about the cake.
Because the voice said that there would be cake and stuff after it, like cake and refreshments. And it's like, I wonder what kind of cake are they going to serve? But then I keep hearing the cake is a lie, so...
You know what? You know, see...
Hey, if there's no freaking cake at the end of the game, that is villainy right there.
No, what's villainy is once you beat the game, you get to listen to the song that GLaDOS sings, which is one of the greatest things ever created. And I'm sorry, but do you know... I mean, this will make you play Portal. Did you know who wrote Portal? Like, the dialogue? Same guy that wrote Psychonauts.
Nice.
So, yeah. It's extremely funny. Just her voice going on and on throughout the game, telling you about all these things.
Everybody kind of knows that I've sort of...
Poured yourself out to Psychonauts?
No, well, that. And that I've sort of been quietly protesting the Orange Box. Not because I don't think Half-Life 2 is a great game, and not because I don't think Episode 1 is a great game, but because I think they were great games years ago. the fact that they're being re-released now is doesn't mean that they should be winning awards all over the place.
Well, it's not about winning awards. It's about that you're getting five
games in one box. And I understand that.
I mean, I could not buy that game. I'm right. Like, just damn. Right. And Portal itself was just...
Right.
I love Portal. Portal was so good.
I may have to play the Orange Box just for Portal. So.
All right, so now we go on to our last overall award, which was Best Box Art. And once again, it goes to BioShock.
Which had phenomenal box
art. It's simply because of the art style and the way it has the slip cover on
right.
it. And it, like you said, even the collector's edition had the really cool like brown tinted artwork. And
yeah.
It had a big box with the Big Daddy sticking out of it.
I think for me it's the slip cover with the perforated cover where
right.
like you could feel it and it's indented and things and
it
I
looks
think
watery.
That's a really good box art. Honorable mentions in this were You Are Mr. Gay, Super Mario Galaxy. You said you want to talk about this. And it's still in the game, which is awesome.
Yeah, You Are Mr. Gay.
Do you know?
Yeah, I know who You Are Mr. Gay.
Basically, if you look at the cover of Super Mario Galaxy, for those of you that don't know, there's a star on some of the letters, and if you pick the letters that are starred, it spells out You Are Mr. Gay. So, I mean, I don't know if that's intentional.
If it is, it's very funny.
I know. Whoever did that, if it's intentional, I want you to send me an email because I just want to congratulate you on being extremely clever. And I think that's great.
And whoever discovered that is just reading into things too much.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, though. And then Assassin's Creed, for its simplicity and the little subtle hints that it gives away on the front
right.
of the box is very cool. Do you know the plot twist already? I hope
so,
because we've been talking about it.
I watch a lot of podcasts and stuff like that, so I know the plot.
You know how it rolls.
You know how it rolls.
All right. We're going to move on. Technical awards. These are basically technology.
By golly. It's not just a clever name.
It is not just a clever name. Best visuals. Uncharted.
Absolutely.
By far the best looking console game to come out this year.
Absolutely.
Who would have ever thought?
On the PlayStation. What's the power of the cell, man?
Yeah.
You forgot to say that with a tuh in the middle. T-E-H instead of
It's power
of tuh
cell. I'm sorry. Power of tuh butt sex. Anyway.
Wow.
Just animation, everything.
Everything in Uncharted looks phenomenal. The
first time
he
got
phenomenal.
Wet. The first time he got wet, I blew my mind.
The
I'm
environments
like, oh,
look phenomenal.
Awesome.
The characters look phenomenal. The animation's phenomenal.
Runner-up, BioShock. Oh, man.
Yeah.
The first time I saw that game, I'm just like, wow, how did they do
that?
First
time you see the water in that game.
Yeah.
You walk through the tunnel, and it's coming out of the that one sealed door, and it's kind of spraying out, and it distorts your vision.
The effect of the distorting your vision with the water was just phenomenal.
Perfect.
And just like the neon lighting scattered throughout the world. That world told a story without ever having to say anything.
Right.
And that's what made it look so good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it had, like, the coolest, like, opening ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
the
is
plane
really
crash,
good.
Going into the lighthouse, you know, getting the grand tour by Mr. Andrew Ryan himself on a voiceover.
Yeah.
And when he says, the world is rapture, and then you see the city, like, simultaneously, it was one of those moments that when I first saw it, I knew that...
You nearly cried.
It's one of those moments that in 20 years from now, you're going to be seeing as, like, pivotal points in gaming.
Right. That opening sequence is very reminiscent to the train ride in Half-Life.
Right.
The very first Half-Life.
Yeah.
How it brings you into the world. It gives you the credits. It gives you, like, the overview of the story of what the hell's going on. And it just immerses you. And you go back and watch Half-Life, and then you look at BioShock, and you go, oh, my God.
Right.
Just look how much more detail is in here now. It's just...
It's phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
It's the evolution.
You've said phenomenal a lot.
That's a big word.
It's the evolution of the medium.
Next award is a GambusCon special award. Best feeling of vertigo.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is lacking in most modern gaming.
It is.
It really is. And the winner was Crackdown.
Yeah.
Just being on top of those buildings, especially the Agency Tower.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking specifically was the Agency Tower.
The dive from the Agency Tower into the pool of water to get that achievement.
Was so awesome.
Yeah, and it's sick, too.
So, and it made me like, ugh, when I jumped, I'm like, oh, shit.
Because you're diving into a very, what looks like a very small pool of water when you're way up at the top of the Agency Tower.
Oh, that was so much fun. God, I love that game.
Yeah.
Also on this list, runner-up is Mario Galaxy.
Mario Galaxy, for good reason, you got those absurdly difficult platforming areas.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another game that's got a good sense of vertigo. Uncharted. We've mentioned it about 80 times, but seriously, the some of the platforming, especially the platforming sequence on the waterfall.
That's true.
You're getting shot at the same time, and you're hanging, and the camera pans down and shows the whole waterfall.
I love that scene.
Yeah.
Or what about Assassin's Creed when you climb up to the lookout towers?
Yeah.
And jump off. Down into the haystacks.
Yeah. There's a lot of good exploration of the vertical in games this year. Oddly enough, instead of just exploring the horizontal plane, there was a lot of good exploration of the vertical.
I'm hoping that tradition
continues
in the upcoming years.
I hope Grand Theft Auto has it, because I want to be able to get on top of those giant tall buildings.
No doubt.
That'd be some fun shit. Moving on, best art direction. And this is kind of like a visual category. Basically, it's not technical graphics, it's more like the art style. And we look at these games as changing and making you feel immersed in the world.
Right.
And obviously BioShock, as we've already mentioned, was the best as far as that went. Just being able to tell a story without actually saying anything is an achievement that's very hard in games.
Right.
An honorable mention on this one was Assassin's Creed, just because the world said so much without saying anything, and you felt like you were in a giant city in the Crusades, and the architecture of the buildings, and it was phenomenal. There's that word again.
Not to mention the character design, the art design on the characters in Assassin's Creed was very well done.
Yes. Next one, best animation. Once again, we have Welcome to the Uncharted Assassin's Creed Award. It's hard to argue just how good the animation in Uncharted is.
Yeah.
It is, because you see all the little things, like him squinting when you hit a wall, or him moving over a small rock. He still looks like he moves over the rock.
He stumbles over it a little bit. Even the platforming, the animation in Uncharted really does more than anything to give Drake kind of the everyman feel. Because, you know, if he acted like an everyman kind of normal guy in just the cutscenes, but then when he was running and jumping and all that, he looked like a superhero, it would have really killed the whole feel.
Yeah.
But the fact that even, you know, jumping into cover, he looks like, you know, you or me jumping into cover.
Yeah.
Like he squints when he hits the wall, he winces when the bullets get close. It's just everything does so much. The entire game, animation, everything goes into building his character, and it's It's very rarely seen.
It is. And then honorable mention on that was Assassin's Creed, because you see, like, Altair climbing up the wall. He has, like, 4,000 different animations
right.
when he climbs up the wall. And, like, jumping between, like, the free running and going over the little bars and just... It's amazing.
Right.
The fighting mechanics and everything, the animation in that game.
Yeah, the counter kills, the animations are sweet.
Yeah.
It really does a lot to make you feel like a badass.
It does.
It does.
That's another one of the things Assassin's Creed does really well.
Just make you feel like a badass. Amidst all the things that it does wrong, it does that very well.
Next category is best sound effects, and it seems like every time Infinity Ward makes a game, they win.
Absolutely.
Because their sound effects are just ridiculously incredible, and it's no exception here with Call of Duty 4, and the sound effects, just bullets whizzing past you, and your chatter on the radio, and just people talking and all that. It's great sound effects, especially during right. like the first-person scenes where you're being dragged through the city
right.
and stuff like that.
And the thing that makes Call of Duty as good a game as it is it the intensity, and the sound adds more to the intensity in that game.
Like every other Infinity Ward game, the explosions
right.
just rock when they explode. It's just incredible. And then, of course, the runner-up for this, and it's hard to deny, as always, is Halo 3.
Right.
I mean, say what you want about anything in that game, its sound and music is just...
Very, very, very,
it's very,
very
good.
Well done.
Next up is best soundtrack, and as I just said, once again, I broke the podcast rule of segging.
You segged.
But Halo 3 was the choice for best soundtrack, and it's Marty O'Donnell.
Yeah, you can't really deny that.
No.
I mean,
it does a lot to really draw you into the experience. The soundtrack really does.
Yeah. Wow. It's really good. And then, of course, runner-up was, not the sequel, the runner-up was Metroid Prime 3.
Which also had an awesome soundtrack.
Great soundtrack. And yes, we excluded, you know, just random music tracks.
Right, yeah. I mean, if a game had licensed music as its soundtrack, we excluded that.
No.
We're talking
yeah.
best original soundtrack.
The thing is, Metroid, as an overall series, bless you.
Thank you.
As an overall series, it's always had good music.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it has a little remix in this one. So
yeah.
It's good times. Next up, best voice acting. Yes, we argued over this one.
Yes, we did.
We did argue over this one, and initially it came up to two games, and the winner coming out was Uncharted. And it's you can't deny how good the voice acting in Uncharted is. It is really good.
Yeah.
But then again, you argue, is it better than a runner-up, which is Mass Effect? And it really comes down to a matter of preference. And the voice acting in Uncharted seemed to be a little more well-acted.
Right.
Because they actually had actors motion-captured in the same room. And they were, you know, playing off of each other's dialogue. That's why the scenes were so seamless.
And another honorable mention that I forgot to bring up was definitely Heavenly Sword.
Right.
Just
because of Andy Serkis and the different people that were in it. And they did the same thing where they motion captured their faces and stuff for the emotional. But it was really good, too.
But the reason, I'll say that the reason I gave Uncharted the nod for voice acting above Mass Effect was basically only because of... the main character's voice acting in Mass Effect, I thought, was slightly disappointing.
Yeah. Well, did you play male or female?
Male.
That's why. The female voice is actually a little better.
Is it?
It really is a little better. Like, the male voice is kind of cheesy sometimes.
Yeah.
But the female voiceover was much better. I don't know why that is.
Thing is, with the female voice, or voices in that game, period, it would be kind of nice, even though it would be absurdly like strenuous on the development team to have when you're building your character to actually choose
a voice to match
a voice.
That would be impossible because
yeah.
you'd have to have so much dialogue
yeah.
for each character.
Even if it was just like three choices, I made a female character. I would have liked, you know, kind of like maybe a British accent. That would have been cool.
See, with the female character, I have to say that once I played through the game, I got attached to the character,
yeah.
and I didn't want to change my character, because I felt like it was an actual, like, character now.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But last on the technical list is best controls, and we obviously had to go with Mario Galaxy.
It feels so right.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
But and the real big reason for this is because, in all honesty, any other person ever attempted a game that gave you the kind of control of going upside down, backwards, right, forwards, and being just makes your brain just fry.
Right.
When you think about it from a standpoint. And they nailed it. And if they hadn't nailed it, it would have really broke the game.
Right? Yeah, it would have really sucked.
And the motion controls are not overused. They're used well.
Yeah, they are.
So it's so perfect.
Yeah, you know, I was remembering the original Japanese promotion for the Wii. And I remember seeing the part where the girl had the Wiimote, and she was flipping the Wiimote to make Mario jump.
Yeah.
You heard the jump noise,
right,
when she was flipping up the remote. Oh, I'm so glad that's not how you,
yeah,
play that,
oh,
game.
Oh, I would have hated that game.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad that they put the jump to an actual button.
Right.
But runner-up on this was Warhawk. And basically for the same reason is it plays really solid as a general rule, but the motion controls for the Warhawks themselves is spot on.
Right.
I mean, it works damn near flawless.
So is that how you play, actually?
Yeah, I actually play with the motion control on my Warhawk, and it works really well. So, but now we get into the fun awards. It's time for the worst of the year.
Worst of the year.
These are always the funnest because they're full of two worlds.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. I really didn't. But it's true. All right. Worst up. Worst visuals. And yes, we went on a screenshot hunt.
Yes, we did.
And it's amazing that the two games that we come up with are on the Nintendo Wii.
Who'd have thunk it? And, you know, we should clarify this by saying that we didn't play either of these games because we make it a habit of not playing shit.
Yeah.
But we decided since we, neither of us, as we mentioned in the game we least regret buying, made a habit of buying crap this year. So we went on a screenshot hunt instead to find the worst, ugliest, nastiest-looking games we could find.
We did, and we found some nasty, ugly games.
Yes, we did.
And what's funny is they're both racing games.
Right.
They're both on the Wii.
Right.
And they're both god-awful looking.
Yeah.
The number one is Mini Desktop Racing for the Nintendo Wii. And I looked at these screenshots, and I literally thought I was looking at a Game Boy Advance game.
Yeah, seriously. If you haven't looked at it yet, see if you can find screenshots.
I think IGN has one screenshot.
Yeah,
it
hurts me to watch.
And then the runner-up is, and this one hurts me more,
yeah,
because this is a sequel to an established franchise that I used to love.
Yeah, but back in the day.
This game is so bad and so ugly that they didn't even give it a subtitle. It's just called Cruisin'. There's no Cruisin' the World, no Cruisin' USA. There's no Cruisin'. This should be Cruisin' the Toilet, because this game is terrible looking.
Yeah.
And, oh my god, it looked worse than the N64 game that came out like 10 years ago.
This game should have been called Cruising the Cutting Room Floor.
Ugh. Terrible looking game. Next up, we're going for Worst Sound.
Worst Sound.
Worst Sound. And, I need you to do the impressions again.
All right.
Of two worlds.
Verily. Forsooth.
Forsooth, verily. And how did the wolves sound when you...
I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if my voice is back yet. The wolves come in...
and
terrible.
And when you're fighting the bandits, it's like, ah.
And the voice acting.
The voice acting is some of the worst I've ever heard in my life. Ooh, lovely weather.
No, and I love the, I am alive again.
I'm back. Oh, God.
Yeah, terrible voice acting. Terrible.
Runner up on this. Is Napoleon Dynamite for the PSP.
You get a full review next week, but basically, there's very little, which is surprising, there's very little voice acting in the game. Most of it is text, but basically they just take clips from the movie and throw them in at the most random times possible.
I think the fans of Napoleon Dynamite, making a text game for the fans of Napoleon Dynamite is a huge mistake.
It is.
Because I'm beginning to think that most of the people that enjoyed that movie can't read.
Wow. I enjoyed that movie.
I know you
read,
did. That's why
bastard.
I said it. No, that's funny.
I enjoyed that movie two years ago.
God, idiot.
idiot.
Give me some of your tots. Anyway.
And there's no mention of tots.
Oh, there's no tots in the game?
There's no mention of tots.
I found a delicious bass for you to eat.
I caught you a delicious bass.
I'm hunting wolverines with my uncle.
There is wolverine hunting.
Yeah, I know.
But there's no mention of delicious bass either. Or prom dresses
is Tina
with fluffy
in
sleeves.
It?
Tina is in it. Tina's actually the main focus of it.
Oh, my God. All right, we're moving on.
Moving on.
Worst controls. Once again, forsooth, we have come to two worlds.
Just for the horse control. I mean...
How do you fuck that up?
You know, it's very difficult.
But they mastered it.
The horse control, they made the mistake in that game of trying to give the horses their own intelligence. And so they wouldn't run down certain cliffs, or they wouldn't go certain directions. And really all it did was make you want to kill your fucking horse. You were better off just walking to places and whistling for the horse to follow you.
You know what's awesome about this, and I have to quote Gambus Khan here, but the horse control is worse than the go-karts in Big Bumpin'.
Wow, yeah, that's true.
In the Burger King games.
That's very true.
So, you know, the it may be better than the Burger King games, but...
Not by much.
It doesn't control better than the Burger King games.
The horse controls in that game make me want to die.
Thing is, I was telling Zero here that Two Worlds had a lot of really good ideas. It could have been a really good game if they would have had like two more years worth of development time.
Something it's like Oblivion on hemorrhoids.
Wow, nice.
Anyway, we're moving on. You give so much shit to Two Worlds, but you loved it.
I love that game.
And I still think it's a good game. I think it's a solid game, but it has so many problems.
The voice acting's trash, the controls are trash, the frame rate's trash, but I have fun with it.
I had fun with it. I mean, but it's so terrible. It's terrible fun.
It is terrible fun.
All right, we're going to move on. Well, actually, our runner-up for worst controls was Lair.
Lair, yeah.
Yeah.
The flight controls are terrible. And I know people say, well, you get used to it. No.
I got used to the Jaguar controller too. It didn't make it a good controller.
Well, you know, if you're getting tortured and having your fingernails cut off by some kind of
what the hell is going on?
I know where this is going, and it's funny.
Well, I was going to say if you're like having like bamboo shoved up underneath your fingernails, by the time you reach to the 10th fingernail, it's not so bad. Kind of used to it by then. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Next
time. That was like an overly convoluted.
Yeah. It really was. That joke didn't go
really
anywhere
was.
After a while.
Yeah. There's too much exposition.
Next award, worst box art. And once again, the 360 dominates this category.
Yeah.
We have Jericho.
Which
Jericho.
Is just...
That is the worst... I mean...
It's just a mix of ugly.
It's just an ugly, ugly dude.
Right.
And he's like patterned out like on the cover, and it's just, ugh.
It's disgusting.
It's
it makes
terrible.
Me want to puke.
And
the thing is, I know it's Clive Barker, but you know something? The covers to like the Hellraiser movies were actually, you know, like Pinhead and all that. It was a very, you know, more artistic, you know, and... You know, even though you're looking at something that's disgusting, it was done in an artistic way. But with Jericho, it's just blah. Let's just throw some ugly-looking demon face on it.
But speaking of ugly artwork, our runner-up is Wartek, Cinco No Ronde.
Which is just terrible. It's like a guy shooting at a robot's crotch, basically, is the artwork.
Yeah, but they don't even look like... They look like those, like... robots that you buy on Amazon. Those, like, little generic robots.
Yeah, it looks like they guys
look like
in
Go-bots.
Cardboard boxes.
They look like Go-bots.
Go-bots.
Look like fucking
yeah.
Go-bots on the cover, man, shooting
Go-bots.
At each other. I'm like, you gotta add Wartek to the game title, because Americans don't know what Cinco No Ronde is.
Right.
So they're like, what? Oh, war! Wartek!
Cool, I'll buy
okay,
it.
I'll buy that.
It's got war in it.
Yeah. That's probably my other... most regret paying $60 for.
I'm going to tell you this, too. Shadowrun has some shitty box art.
It's funny, though. The guy on the cover makes me laugh.
Well, and what's funny is how similar the box art is in Shadowrun and Crackdown. It's both two guys jumping with guns in their hand. It's very interesting.
The games couldn't be any more different.
Right.
All right, next up is Biggest Disappointment. And we kind of switched... with
right.
the worst controls here, but Lair comes up as the biggest disappointment because it's such a beautiful game.
Yeah, and even, you know, I was really, really, I didn't even have a PS3 yet, and I was really looking forward to Lair.
It's Factor 5.
Right, it's Factor 5, and I thought the game looked phenomenal. And then it launched, and it was not. it just was not.
It was bloody terrible. And then, a runner-up.
Two Worlds.
I told you Two Worlds would win some awards.
Yeah. It dominated the worst category. But I was really, 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 really looking forward to Two Worlds, especially, and I'm going to give another website plugs here, and I hate doing that, but IGN did their Two Worlds Tuesday thing for a long time where they kept bringing out new information on the game every Tuesday, and it really got me jacked up for it. And then it came out, and the horse controls made me want to die, and the voice acting. I've told this story before, but the first hour I played Two Worlds, I looked at my wife, and I said, "This is the worst game I've ever played." And she said, "It's bad, huh?" I said, "No, it's not bad. It's the worst game I've ever played."
And you kept playing.
But I kept playing it, and now I enjoy it.
Here's the funny thing. I'm going to make an on-the-fly award, too.
Nice.
Just because Kane and Lynch didn't win an award.
Uh-oh.
Most overuse of the word fuck
goes to Kane and Lynch.
Because every other word in that game is fuck. Every word, like, you tell, is great. You command your squad. You're like, "Hey, go over there." They're like, "Hey, fuck you."
That's pretty classic.
That's a great award. Anyway, we're moving on.
Oh, man.
Worst overall game. It was hard.
It was hard
to pick this. And it's not Two Worlds.
It's not.
Just to throw that out there. The winner is, and once again, 360 dominates this category, although the second game is on, like, everything. Of course, both games are on, like, everything.
Right.
Beowulf is the number one game. The worst game.
The thing is, I thought the movie was so good.
That's a mixed opinion from what I hear.
It is a mixed opinion.
But I was looking at the movie from a completely artistic standpoint, and I saw it in 3D, and I just thought it was a really good experience. But other than that,
I saw Freddy's Dead in 3D.
Wow,
it's a lot better than.
I would hope so. Freddy's Dead came out like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, Beowulf, it's just a broken, ugly game. It's terrible. And a runner-up is Pirates of the Caribbean for everything, because the sword fighting mechanics were just terrible. The game was just terrible. I rented it for achievements, and I couldn't even finish it. That's how bad it was.
That's what you get for renting a crappy game for achievements.
It is, but you know what? I really wanted those achievements, and I couldn't even finish
the
game.
Yeah, I know you did, Mr. I beat Open Season.
Open Season was at least enjoyable. Shit. Pirates of the Caribbean was like pulling teeth at a Kenny G concert. It was terrible.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
That is bad.
Pulling teeth at a Kenny G
concert.
Now
we come to the final awards. There are three main awards.
Uh-oh. Da-da-da-da.
Now we have the drum roll. First up, best online multiplayer game. And we butted
heads. There was some fighting about this
one. We butted heads over this one. I wanted Warhawk to be number one, but you can't deny.
You were outvoted.
I was outvoted. You cannot deny the Halo 3.
Absolutely.
The Halo 3.
Solely based on the multiplayer, which is this category, Halo 3 delivered on, you know,
four-player co-op.
Every account.
Screenshots, videos, tons of maps, shitload of game modes, customization, Forge. There's just too much there to deny the greatest multiplayer game of the year. And then Warhawk, simply because of its giant 32-player battles, the great vehicle and on-foot controls, the tons of weapons. I mean, far and away, it's sad that the PlayStation Network has one of the best multiplayer games ever made. I mean, it's not sad for PlayStation owners, but it's just weird to me.
Right.
Because the Xbox Live is so popular.
The thing is, next year in 2008, I have a feeling that PSN Network is going to start stepping it up.
I hope so.
We shall see. I hope so as well.
I want it to come to the level of Xbox Live. I do.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah, that's my concern.
For free.
Yeah, is whether it can come to the level of Xbox Live. Because, I mean, regardless of what people say, if you say that PlayStation Network is on the same level as Xbox Live, you're kidding yourself.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, my concern is whether they can make PlayStation Network equivalent to Xbox Live and still keep it free.
Well, here's the key. Home is not the key.
No. Home is not the key.
Next up, best offline multiplayer game. And
this was a pretty easy to
do. This is just... Rock Band is just the greatest. If you have a party, the Rock Band's coming out.
It should be there, yeah.
I mean, that's going to be the thing. I mean, like I said, for our New Year's party that we're having this year, I said I need a roadie. to help me bring over to Rock Band. But yeah, Rock Band is just, there is nothing more fun, regardless of its problems, its criticisms, whatever's wrong with it that we've said over the time, there is still not a game that we don't play when everybody gets together.
Right.
It's always Rock Band.
It always will be Rock Band.
Yep. It's just so much fun. And then the follow-up was, or honorable mention, obviously Guitar Hero 3. Great multiplayer game. I'd like to throw Zenit in there.
Right.
Zenit is a great game when there's a bunch of people together.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just... But for offline, that's where it's at. And, of course, Zenit isn't even online, so
right.
It's going to be offline. Yeah. And then we come to it. We come to the Big Daddy Award, which is the Game of the Year.
Game of the Year.
And this was entirely decided by democracy.
It was. I mean, it was basically...
Yeah.
Two people had the same one. One person had a different one. So we just made the one the Game of the Year and the other the runner-up.
Yep. And so. The Game of the... Well, first we'll announce the runner-up.
Runner-up.
The runner-up is BioWare's Mass Effect for the Xbox 360, which just delivered on so many levels that we've talked about already.
Yep.
And the Game of the Year... If you can believe this podcast, pick Game of the Year as not an Xbox 360 game, not a PlayStation 3 game, but Super Mario Galaxy.
Super Mario Galaxy.
For the Nintendo Wii.
Super Mario Galaxy! Woohoo!
Yeah, can you believe that? As much trash as we've talked about the Wii this past year, a Wii game wins Game of the Year. And, you know, pretty handily.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was very little debate as far as, like, Mario being the top one of the top tier games of the year. Just from every aspect, it's just that game.
Right.
And the interesting thing about Mario Galaxy is all the way up to the point of when I actually played it, I was thinking to myself, man, this game could just be another Mario Sunshine. Which Mario Sunshine was a really good game,
but it wasn't.
It was, great. But it wasn't Mario 64.
No.
And I thought at the E3 conference when they were saying, "Oh, this is the successor to Mario 64," I frankly thought they were just blowing smoke up my rear end because, you know, they were just saying that to be saying it.
That's right.
You know, so I didn't really believe it. But when I was at Game Store and Mr. Boogeyman Brian Peterson got in the demo before it was released. He got the playable demo, and he's like, "Look what we got in." I was like, "Oh, I gotta play that." I started playing that, and about, you know, 30 minutes later, I was converted, man. I was like, "Dude, the controls are like spot on."
If there is one game this year that is worth buying a console for, it is Super Mario Galaxy.
It is. It is. I mean, it really is. So.
It is worth paying $300 to play it. It's that good.
Whereas it's just the Nintendo Wii last year was the Zelda machine.
Now right. It's the Mario
now
machine.
Now it's the Mario machine.
And
you know, it's going to be the Smash Brothers Mario Kart machine next year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to me, and I'm very happy about this. I'm very happy that Nintendo has given me a reason to be excited about the Wii at the end of this year and going into next year.
Yeah.
Because I really, you know... I've had a Wii since launch. I haven't, unlike some people, I haven't got rid of mine and had to give it back. I've had mine since launch. And, you know, I was excited about Zelda when I first got it and Wii Sports, obviously. The Wii Sports kind of wore off for me. And then I was excited about WarioWare and Super Paper Mario, and that passed.
And then you had 6 months of dormant.
Right, basically where my system... to be completely honest, sat there and didn't get played.
And that's exactly when I didn't have mine.
Right. you know, the fact that Nintendo has done so much this year and going into next year to make me excited about the system really makes me happy.
I just wonder what's going to happen after Mario Kart and Smash Brothers drops. It's just like, what's the next franchise that they're going to bring back?
Right.
Because it's obvious that their new IPs, outside of Animal Crossing... just aren't doing anything.
I'm waiting for a Donkey Kong game. A legitimate Donkey Kong game.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
So, I'm waiting for them to...
I'm trying to think what other Nintendo franchise I'd even want to see. I'm trying to, like, think of it.
A lot of people want to see a new Kid Icarus.
Will they stop with the fucking Kid Icarus? God damn.
But... think about it.
I do think about it. I think about there's a reason why there's only one version of this game.
No. I liked Kid Icarus, but...
There were two versions. You know, at least one for Game Boy.
That I'd rather count. I'd rather them make a new Kid Icarus than a new fucking Ice Climbers or something like that.
Well, why don't you just make a new Gyromite? Goddamn.
A new Gyromite. Yeah, that'd be good. Re-release Rob, the robotic operating buddy.
I will shove him up your ass.
But there seriously is it. I mean, that's a genuine question. After Mario Kart, what is there? We'll have to discuss that.
Well,
on the
thing is,
podcast.
My prediction is that Mario Kart will be a holiday release.
You think so?
Yeah,
probably. I'm thinking
October, November.
I'm thinking Smash Brothers will be February. So
see, I really call Smash Brothers in June or July.
You think it's going to get pushed back again?
I think that's my goal. That's my goal to rumor for the year.
Nice.
Well, I think that if it does get pushed back, it'll probably be to like maybe April or May.
March. I think if it's going to get pushed back, it's not going to get pushed back much farther than March, to be honest with you, because I think they know the anticipation level.
Well, I think
for it,
this
so.
Is a great topic for next week.
It is.
What is our anticipation and predictions for the year of 2008? What will we see? What won't we see? That's a good show topic.
That is a good show topic for next week.
I tell you what we won't see, because a lot of people are always mention it when they're talking about their PS3. Oh, Final Fantasy 13, that game is not coming out in 08.
No, it's not.
But we will discuss all of
it. It might in Japan at the very, very end of the year.
December 28th.
Yeah, in Japan.
But we will talk about all those predictions, anticipations, and all that good stuff next week. But for now, we would just like to say Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show all year, all five of you. we really appreciate it. We really do.
We will continue the shows into the new year and try a new format.
Listen.
We will try some new formats. And we also have some exciting things coming up that we can't talk about yet.
Yeah,
there's some very exciting things coming up that we can't talk about yet.
Yeah, some top secret stuff.
Top secret
hush,
stuff.
Hush.
We're also going to be running a few contests early in the year.
Yeah, some stuff that is so top secret that I don't even know about it.
That's right, you don't. Yeah. I'll have to tell you after we stop recording.
Yeah.
But we also have a few contests. We're going to be giving away a robot, one of the little robots that move around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be giving away one of those.
And
for one lucky contestant, we're going to be giving away a Nintendo DS Triforce Edition with a copy of Zelda, the Phantom Hourglass.
Holy crap.
So we haven't decided the details of the competition yet, but we will be running that contest, and we will be giving these things away to listeners. So stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned for big things from the
big things in 2008.
Yeah.
I went all country on you there.
Yeah, you did.
So be ready for big things in 2008. The N4G network is going to dominate the gaming industry this year.
By golly.
And we're going to be at the front lines with our muskets.
Battling. And our swords.
And Gambus Khan is going to be on the cover of Star Magazine.
And I'll be riding a horse from two worlds around in circles.
You will be, and I'm going to be screaming fuck at every corner with Kanan Lynch.
Yeah.
I'm going to go insane. But this wraps up 2007. Glad you guys were here with us.
Thanks, folks.
And we will see you next week for our first show in 2008.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Khan, for the last time in 2007, would you roll me out?
The sun will rise, burning faces, staring back at it, you'll see the light as it shines oh so bright. You can't deny what we had was something special, and I wait on the day when you are finally out of my mind. The day. Single lives we live, no longer will. We share our lives as one. The time goes by, turning days into months now. We've learned to grow apart, but are we really happy now? The day.
Outtakes lately, so no. I was kind of hoping to grab one, you know.
It's because we're not really all that funny.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
You didn't have the falsetto there, did you?
Do it for you.
I do it for you! Yeah!
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, now, now, now.
I'm rocking.
Oh, into yeah. Your heart, babe. Into the heart, baby. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That definitely. This is definitely how we want 2007 to go out right here.
Yeah, yeah. Singing some Bryan Adams. Everything I do it for you. Hey, you can't tell me it's not worth dying for. It was going to be a rough one last week. If you'd have showed up last week and we had done the podcast.
He was pretty much voiceless.
It would have been rough.
Because I was pretty much talking like this.
I sounded like Solid Snake.
Cool.
Like I sounded like I should have been looking for Metal Gear.
Metal Gear. Welcome to the FOG podcast.
It's kind of cool, though, because the first night that I lost my voice, like, it's funny, because the first night that you lose your voice, you feel like a badass.
Oh, yeah, because like, you're all gruffly.
I'm
like,
walking, out of, going? Walking out of Target, and the guy's like, have a good Christmas, and I'm like, thanks, you too.
Hey, Metal Gear.
I'm at the restaurant, and I'm like, yeah, I just want a water. I just want a water. And I'm
I want a water. Hey, in the kitchen, do you have Metal Gear? Yeah, give me water.
So, like, the first night, you feel like a badass, and then by the second day, you're just pissed off and annoyed, just ready for your voice to come back.
Yeah.
You want to scoot a little bit closer, maybe, just in case?
A little bit closer!
Wow.
Dude,
wow. There's definitely
shy.
Some quality outtake material here. Definitely.
Get a little closer! With tried extra dry!
What the fuck word was that? What was
you
that?
Said we'll just get trying extra dry.
Yeah, some kind of commercial from like the 80s, man.
Modern fucking here.
Extra dry.
Get extra dry.
Get extra dry.
With Gambus Con deodorant. Smells like Gambus Con.